ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It's August 27th, 2012, and we're almost at Labor Day, Chris. I had the weekend off this past Saturday and Sunday. I kind of chilled out a little bit, took it easy, rode my jet ski around, and pretended pretended that I actually had a real summer going on. It was a very small microcosm of what my summer really is, but it was better than nothing, I always say.
Well, I ask people like this. They'll ask me something now, and I'm mostly serious. I say, "What month is it?" You know, and because I get you know, because things
the summer's over.
Well, I'm glad you used your the annual Dave Palumbo. I'm going to use my jet ski just because it's going to sit out here in front of my house if I don't.
My problem was that the jet ski was not running, so I decided that I was going to get on the jet ski. Now, the guy has had it for 2 years. You know the whole story, but the guy, he fixes it, never really fixes it. So I went out on it. It was all dirty and gunky because they don't treat it well. I cleaned it. I waxed it. I tried to get all the little pieces of tar or something, whatever's on it, off. It looked beautiful. I took it out. I was flying around the bay. I was like stress free for about 20 minutes, and then I started hearing the oil light thing beep on, beep 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 beep, but it wasn't staying on. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's a little malfunction. I decided I got my fill of the water and you know, all the fresh air. I went back into my jet dock. I opened up the thing. I said, let me check the oil, see what's going on. No oil in the tank. So it's leaking again. So I had a go back over there again, and I was very nice to the guy. I should have, you know, broke his arm or something like that, but I was like, look, I just had a beautiful ride on my jet ski. It's not holding oil again. He's like, I fixed it three times. I said, well, you're evidently not fixing it well. And I said, I would appreciate it, seeing that we're at the end of the summer, if you can get this fixed right away. That doesn't mean 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year. It means within days.
Today.
He said, no problem. It has not left my backyard yet. Usually he comes and picks it up. Hasn't left my backyard in 2 days. So the chances of me getting another ride this season are probably slim to none. But I did get one out of it, so I should not be complaining too much. I have a jet ski that's like 5 years old. It looks brand new, and it has 15 hours on it, which means that's like having like 1,000 miles on a car, you know?
Yeah, nothing.
So, nothing, basically.
Well, maybe we'll have a long... maybe we'll have an Indian summer and you'll be able to use
That's right.
Between going to shows and
so we got some time. I got some weeks off
in Australia with Species Nutrition.
Well, we got some. I got a couple weeks off, so we got the North American Championships coming up this weekend on Labor Day, as always. And they moved it to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this weekend, and I'm sure it's going to be record breaking numbers there. We also have the following weekend, Aaron will be down in Sarasota for the Sarasota Pro down in Florida there. And I will be in Finland with Sally covering the Nordic Pro. So we have two shows on that they will be covering. I think you'll be down in Sarasota with Aaron there covering that event, which should be pretty good. And then we have the weekend after, I have off, actually. And the weekend after that, I have off. And the weekend after that, I have off. So we get 3 weeks in a row off before the Olympia. But then the barrage of traveling begins again. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we're coming to the end of the contest season. This is the most exciting part, I think, because once we get... The Olympia is always kind of the crescendo of the year, so to speak. And I think it's going to be a very good Olympia this year. Jay obviously won't be doing it. And, you know, there's rumors that Victor is not going to be doing it, but I heard rumors that he might be doing it again. Has he called you up at all for any advice?
Yeah, I spoke to him the day after you saw him at Steve's gym.
And what did he say?
He sounded like he was, you know, I thought I heard the words New York Pro come out of his mouth. You know?
Well, you know, you know, Victor is wishy-washy. You know, I'm sure
that's why. Yeah, yes.
I am sure that everyone in the sport wants him to do it because it's good for the Olympia. I don't know if, you know, Victor made it seem to me that he wasn't going to do it, but, you know, I haven't heard the official announcement. Robin Chang is obviously the final word. When Robin Chang says Victor's not doing it, then Victor's not doing it. So obviously Victor has not contacted him and told him he's not doing it. The question is, I guess Victor is qualified because he won that show last year, the Arnold.
He won the Spain, Arnold Spain.
Right, right. So I'm sure Victor doesn't want to do it at anything less than his best. Probably his best move would be to do the Arnold Classic. That's what I would think. But not the Arnold Europe, the Arnold next year. But
the original Arnold. Mm. The Columbus, Ohio.
You can't even call it the Arnold anymore because you got the Arnold Columbus, Brazil. Ohio here. And then you got Arnold Brazil next year. You got Arnold Europe. I heard they're going to have an Arnold, China or something like that too? Something like that?
Are you serious?
I think they're looking to put one in the in Asia somewhere, yeah.
Aaron and Dario can buy a house with their freaking fly miles.
That's right. Aaron with his as long as I send him on United, he's happy. He's very happy.
Yeah, they merged with Continental, right? Their freaking flyer program.
Continental United. I think didn't US Air buy United too? I don't know. They're all owned by the same people.
Donald Trump says if you want to lose money, buy an airline.
Well, you know what the best thing would be if all the airlines just merged. And then you can get frequent flyer. All your frequent flyers will be on the same airline. You know, that would be
I know, convenient. But it's all bogus now anyway. I have a ton of miles, and I went to try to book a flight the other day, and it was like, 50,000 from here to there and 25,000, 75,000 miles just to get a free ticket. And the ticket itself, I looked online, it was like $279.
This is even the bigger scam. Let me tell you the American Express scam. For every dollar you spend on American Express, you get a point, right? And I think if you book flights on American Express, you get 2 points. So I once went to book. I have all these points on American Express. I said, let me buy a flight for myself. But you got to buy the flights from the American Express Airlines. I'm the American Express website. So I call up American Express. I say, I want to book a flight to Florida, let's say, whatever it was. They're like, oh, okay. It was going to cost me the equivalent of like $800 for the flight. I said, but the flight's only $200 or $250. She's like, well, that's what's going to. So I have to spend all my miles.
Points.
Yeah, right. I got to spend all my miles to go to Florida, basically. So the points are bullshit. I always say that, you know.
I took my
points
my
are like people. Points are like, you know, these people that collect coupons. That's what points are like. To me, I throw the coupons in the garbage. You know what? Because I don't care about the dollar I'm going
to
save.
I don't have time to go from. I took my nephew's my nephew to an arcade the other night, and I must have spent $70 on arcade games, and you get 1,000 of these little tickets. So it's $70 worth of tickets, and you could buy like a keychain that says Joker's USA on it. $70.
Did they have like skee ball there and all those like cool games?
Yeah, skee ball and all the old time stuff.
Remember the tickets you used to get? I had a friend who had like 6 million of those tickets. Like if you get like a million of them, you can get like the TV set, which was at the time was like the 20-inch,
reconditioned already. It's been brought 20 back.
20-inch tube, it was like the old tube sets, And he's like, I'm going to get that TV set. I got a million tickets. And he came home one day or something like that, and like his dog had gotten a puppy, and the dog got in there and chewed them all up. I mean, the kid had been collecting them for like 5 years, these tickets. Uh-huh. He probably spent, the equivalent of 18 TV sets, to win the TV set. And so he got the tickets. They were all chewed up, and he put them in like this pile, and he tried to tape them back together, and he brought them in, and the people, they wouldn't accept them. They said, no, these are shit. We can't accept these. These might have been disposed of by someone else. And the kid wanted to commit suicide, I remember, and he was like on suicide watch for a week or something like that at school.
You think with those many tickets, he could buy a jet ski
he missed school one day. The teachers had to like give us a talk, the whole class, and they said, when whatever his name was, I don't know, Brian or something, that comes back tomorrow to school, I want everyone to be very, very nice to him, and be very courteous and show him love and support. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? I knew the kid. He fucking lost his tickets. That's what everyone thought. The kid was sick or something like that, or he had some terminal disease. I'm like, it's the fucking tickets.
He can't get the TV with the 18 tubes in it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was pretty funny back then.
Remember the old TVs? You're old enough to remember when you're a little kid and the TV man would come over and replace the tubes in the back of the TV.
That's right. Well, I had a black and white TV when I was in college. Because I couldn't afford to get the color one, the first 2 years. I had a little black and white.
I didn't even have a TV. I couldn't even keep up on the news. I lost 4 years of my life.
Yeah, there was no internet back then. Yeah, I actually had my parents had given me their old TV set. I had, you remember when they had Atari and Intellivision, the video games on TV?
Oh yeah,
you would
hook
up to your TV set. Yeah, there was no like. There was no computers. You would, yeah, you would hook it up to your TV. So they gave me this huge, it was probably a 20-inch color TV. But it was, the thing had, it looked like an air, you know, you ever see a central air conditioning unit on the side of your house?
Oh, yeah.
Like that? It was as big as that. It was this huge box. But it was great because I put the console, the thing that hooked into the TV set, on top of the set, and it was like a stand. But it was really not a stand. It was the whole TV. It was this huge, huge box. It had to be like 3 feet by 3 feet or something, like maybe even bigger than that.
Did you have a roommate?
No, this isn't when I was living in my dad's house, my room. Okay, I had this in. Yeah. No, when I went to college, I had a roommate. Yeah, for 2 years. We were the two most hated people. No, we weren't hated, but we were like pariahs because we were like runners and like we did weird shit, you know.
Yeah.
He was the only guy that you'd get along with.
You still
with
stay them. In touch with him?
Yeah, once in a while. He's in Germany now. He hated America so much he moved to Germany.
Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to say that when you said he's in Germany. It was a rebel that he was.
He just couldn't fit in.
He couldn't take. He would see all the injustice.
He just didn't fit in. He was a little off.
Yeah.
He always related better to like foreign people, you know. I was in my own little world in college. I receded into this like
world
of like endurance sports. I was a runner and I was swimming and I was biking. I was just out of my mind. You know, I don't even know what I was doing, but I was trying to accomplish something. I wasn't really sure what it was, but I think I liked torturing myself. That's what it was really all about. So.
Well, you probably had the endorphin high from running.
That's
you
what
know?
I did. You, people don't realize it's hard to stop running once you start. It's so addicting.
Of course it is.
And, you know, the funny thing was I always wanted to be super shredded, and I was when I was a runner. But the funny thing was when I stopped running, I got even more shredded, which was the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah, you had probably, you know,
changed my metabolism permanently.
Your metabolism into, like overdrive for life. You're still more shredded than most of the competitors who compete in bodybuilding shows.
Yeah, I think what happened was I permanently changed my my metabolism. You know, at some point, you know, I think that, you know, as Dr. Conley would say, what happens is, you know, as we build muscle, we add nuclei to the muscle cells, which make them have the ability to get bigger and larger. Okay, initially it's just the potential. Ultimately, you have to eat and put the size on. Well, more nuclei means, you know, more protein synthesis, which means higher metabolic, you know, activity in the cell.
Sure.
So I think that people just by nature of adding more muscle tissue obviously have a greater metabolism. I also feel that endurance athletes tend to become better fat oxidizers because it's in their best interest for their metabolic enzymes to adapt to that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
So I think I see a lot of guys that were former runners that go into bodybuilding tend to be guys that are always super shredded. You ever notice that?
Yeah, I do.
I think that has something to do with it. Yeah, I really do. I think it.
Unless they get on an 800 carb per day diet, like someone just sent me their diet.
Exactly.
I won't say who was creating that 800 grams of carbs a day.
You know,
I told the guy. He said, do you think that's too much? And I said, how many sets do you do for chest? He said, 12. And I said, why don't you do, you know, 60, 50, 60? He says, it's too much. And I said, okay, there's the answer to 800 carbs. Mm.
You know, there's actually research to go show that, like, something, I think did the research, was like any over 500 grams of carbs a day, you actually really have a much greater...
Down-regulate?
Well, no, you have a much greater risk of actually developing type 2 diabetes because it puts a tremendous increase to produce a lot of insulin. And, you know... Well, now, guys that have very fast metabolisms tend to be lower insulin producers. So in their bodies, they're probably better off. But, you know, some people over-secrete insulin, and that puts a strain on those beta pancreatic cells to crank that shit out. You do that for 5-10 mm-hmm. years, you know, you can create cell death in these beta pancreatic cells. And then once they're dead, they don't come back. And that's when your blood sugar start creeping up and up and up because you can't lower your blood sugar enough. And then you start getting diabetic side effects. You don't even know it. So I can't even tell you how many bodybuilders have called me up and said that my blood sugar fasting was 120. Is that good? I'm like, that's not good. That's terrible. I said, so you better, you know, do something about that. You know, sometimes I have these guys cut their carbs back and that solves the problem. And sometimes they got to go on insulin, you know, because they got to give their pancreatic cells some rest, you know, because people think that taking insulin causes diabetes. It actually does the opposite. It actually gives the pancreatic cells rest, and sometimes they will regenerate. So that's you're better off doing that.
Something today.
You know what they do? The doctors do knee-jerk response. You got high blood sugar, slightly high blood sugar, they put you on metformin, which basically strains the pancreas even more and puts more stress on the pancreas to try to crank out more insulin, because that's what metformin does. Mm-hmm. It'll force the pancreatic cells to produce more insulin, which is the worst thing you want to do when they're already stressed, because that can kill them off faster. So doctors are doing a disservice. The problem they do that is because the drug companies make it worth their while to prescribe the drugs, and most people don't want to take an insulin needle. You know, they think, "Ooh, I take insulin, I'm dying, I'm going to die." Actually, one shot of like a long acting insulin, you know, per day every morning, can go a long way as to preserving those pancreatic cells. And sometimes you only need to do it for a couple months to give the cells rest. So I advise you to try to really find a progressive doctor. Unfortunately, most people who get diagnosed with this, they don't go to an endocrinologist. They let their family practice guy or their general practitioner who knows nothing about this just knee-jerk put them on metformin. Yeah. And
he goes to Google.
Not even. He goes to his drug reps come to him and tell him, prescribe this stuff. Yeah. It's good for high blood sugar. And he's like, okay, I don't know anything about it, but it sounds good to me.
How does metformin work?
It does two things. It makes the pancreatic cells produce more insulin when they really shouldn't be, because they can't. And it lowers the output of glucose from the liver.
That's what I thought it did. Yeah,
the liver.
That lowers the output of glucose from liver. Okay, because I haven't heard about it in a long time. It used to be a foreign.
Yeah.
Maybe 15 years ago.
It's also known as glucophage. Glucophage is the common name.
Glucophage, yeah. Some bodybuilders call them full pills, by the way.
Oh, really?
I won't say who those are, yeah. Because they make them full.
It's not a good medication to take on a regular basis. It does stress the pancreas out. And like I said, if you have high blood sugars, you really should go see an endocrinologist and probably ask him if he could put you on a long-acting basal insulin. That's going to be your best solution, especially if you're going to continue to eat high carbs. I personally, if that was me, I would cut my carbs way back, and I would see if that solves the problem. I'd rather live on low carbs and have no pancreas, you know, believe me.
Well, if you're on low carbs, at least your brain functions.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean?
You could eat, but I'm saying when I say low carbs, I'm like, you could eat 150, like I don't even eat more. I probably eat like 150 to 200 grams of carbs a day. I don't even think I go 200, maybe 100 to 150, and I feel fine all day long because I eat enough protein and fat with it. But most of these guys that have the high blood sugars, they're eating 350, 450, 500 grams of carbs a day. Just cut your carbs back. If that solves the problem, then you don't have to worry about it. But what I do recommend is buying a blood glucose meter, and testing your blood sugar throughout the day, because high blood sugars, even a couple points, Chris, even a few points higher than normal, will lead to diabetic side effects like loss of vision long term, neuropathies in the feet and hands. You know, people get poor circulation there, they get ulcerations, they don't heal. There's a lot of side effects, and it's cumulative. It happens as soon as the blood sugars start getting high. And it's very easy to check. You could also check to see how much damage it's doing to you, because you can get a blood test called the hemoglobin A1C. And what that tests is it tests the amount of glucose that's cross-binding with proteins in your blood. And it should be below, I think, 4. If you're over 4, you've been exposed to high blood sugars for long periods of time, and that's not good. So this is not something that I just throw out there that it's meaningless or frivolous. This is really important. You know, I recommend that anyone who has slightly high blood sugars, when they go for their blood work at their doctor, buy themselves a blood glucose meter and check their blood glucose throughout the day. You know, fasting and then after meals. Now, obviously, it's going to go up after meals, but it should never go above a certain point. If you're going into the 200s, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
So. I had to make that statement. Now I want to make a statement about the pro show that took place this past weekend. The IFBB Muscle Heat took place in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we got a new 212 champion. He will be going to the Olympia, Curtis Bryant from Richmond, Virginia. What do you think about that, Chris?
He's good. He's a good bodybuilder.
No one really had him on their radar.
No. That's good. That's what's good about having a lot of these shows, is that, you know, anything can happen. I mean, you've that's right. Nobody had him on the radar screen. And here he is, you know, with a win coming into the 212 Mr. Olympia.
Now, I was looking at the pictures on our site that just went up recently, thanks to Frank Pilari. Uploaded him. You got him up a little late.
I didn't see him yet.
You can take a look at him. And Curtis has a little goatee with a little gray in it. He making him, I always thought he was really young. I didn't realize, you know, because he has good skin and everything like that. But he must, he's got to be probably in his, I'd say close to 40. But the guy, if you look at the pictures, Chris, his glutes, he's a little flat, but his glutes are crazy, crazy striated.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, really, really.
What do you think? You taking a look?
You're right here. I'm going now. I'm clicking. Of course, I'm not signed in.
Chris is, we know Chris is not the greatest with the computer skills, but he's learning.
I know.
We're teaching you.
I'm still using a BlackBerry.
Yeah, so. I know. I can't get you to guys get the iPhone. I don't know why. Once you get the iPhone, Chris, you will never ever use another phone again. I'm actually upset with BlackBerry because they were so ahead of the curve. How they let iPhone get ahead of them, and that they weren't able to combat iPhone or even battle back is amazing. It's kind of sad because they had the market cornered completely, and Steve Jobs, before he died, really stole back that market share. Now, what the hell happened to Tricky Jackson? I'm looking at Tricky Jackson, and he got
Curtis
soft.
He got soft from behind. Last week he was the best he's ever been. So,
well, he thinks he was, but you know, you and I know better. But he looks like he got worse this week rather than better.
No, let me. I'm pretty amazed with
Curtis Bryant.
Curtis. Yeah, he's peeled.
Chris is looking at gallery.rxmuscle.com where we have the.
Yeah, go to. You'll see he's Curtis Bryant.
The muscle heat pictures up there.
He's like a peeled onion.
Guy Cisternino settles for third place. I know a lot of people were talking about him possibly coming in here and winning this show. So I'm assuming it had to be a disappointment for Guy. I know that he was gunning for another pro win this year. What do you think? In the 212 class, and this is I hate making generalized statements because they're usually not true, but to me, and maybe you can back me up on this, conditioning usually wins these shows, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes, got it. Yes.
And if you're going to come into a show where there's a weight limit, don't you think you should come in as crazy shredded as you possibly can? I mean, Guy and Tricky really gave up, you know, the ability to come in here and dominate by not coming in with that ridiculously peeled appearance that I know they both can achieve.
Yeah, they're in good condition, but the winner's peeled.
And that's what won it for.
They're in very
that's
good
what
condition. If the winner was, if the winner wasn't there, then they would say they were peeled.
Right.
That's how you know what I mean?
Right. I want you to look at one guy, okay? A client of mine. Might not have the greatest structure, but
was
probably the most peeled guy. Yeah, Rob Belisle. Great conditioning from Canada. He came in. I brought him in 10 pounds heavier. You know how always people say you got to be fuller? I fed this kid like you've never. We gave him pancakes and we gave him burgers and fries and.
Would he get more ripped?
He got more ripped. He got fuller too. Yeah. So
yeah. No, the pictures don't do him justice because last week he had paper thin skin.
His skin is the same, and he's fuller. He's 10 pounds heavier.
Yeah. No. I mean, thin skin. Sometimes when you're really ripped in some of these pictures with like paper thin skin, it doesn't really show up in real life because.
Well, we talked about this. White guys don't look good in pictures anyway. So.
No, I mean, that's why people rewrite, you know, people like talk about Dorian like he was garbage. It's like, well, funny, I was there at shows and he looked like he was the clear winner at some of the shows that I was at. You know, clear. You go back and look at pictures, he looks like terrible.
Exactly. So that just goes to show you. And Flex Wheel looks 1,000 times harder than he did when he actually placed second in a lot of these shows where people say, oh, Flex should have won. Yeah, well, from the pictures he should have won.
He looks crazy. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a good point.
From the pictures he looked great. Raul Carrasco comes in fourth place here, and in the fifth place spot was Oliver Adzewski. I don't even know who he is. He's from Sweden. So the Swedes got in the top five. That's got to be good, a little feather in their cap right there. Congratulations to them. Marvin Ward self-destructed. He landed in 10th place.
You can't expect him to pack food 2 weeks in a row after. I mean, he couldn't do it 1 week. So.
You saw me yell at Marvin Ward, right? At the Dallas show.
Yell at everyone who thinks they're doing something right and you see something wrong.
Nah, I haven't yelled at anyone like that. I don't think ever. Like I scolded him like he was like my son or something like that. Because I felt that he's wasting his gifts with not preparing properly and not having food.
He could be the man.
He
He could be the man. He don't realize it.
Yeah. He's he's very chaotic. That's the best way to describe it. And you know what? When he gets his act together and he can bring his energy down a little bit and focus himself, he's going to be unbeatable because the guy is a freak. I sent Rob Belisle to the room to take pictures of Marvin. They took pictures of each other to send to me. And Rob was like, his jaw hit the ground. He's like, this guy's a freak. Like, you don't really realize how freaky he is until you see him up close. And, you know,
he's kind of like a shorter version and a, like, you know, he's like a distant cousin, shorter version of Victor Richards.
Pretty much.
Just muscle on top of muscle.
Yeah, he's a freak. He gets crazy at these shows. And you know what? He really needs to have like a babysitter there to watch over him. Maybe I'll have you watch over him down in Sarasota because...
I'll bring him his food.
Yeah.
I'll just cut his sodium, that's all.
Just deliver McDonald's once, you know, a couple times a day.
You know, as I hope you don't take it the wrong way, as quote, bad as he looks damn good.
He still looks good, I know. He still looks good. That's the funny thing.
He's got the crazy quarter turns, and he's got the, you know, the right. Big shoulders and arms, tiny waist.
He probably deserves better than 10th. I think that, you know, who the hell knows?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, he's... But once again, we said the black guys look great in pictures, so he might be looking a little tighter here than he really was in person. His glutes are just not tight enough, and his lower back's not tight enough. But he even admitted to me he screwed up. But like I said, I think he's one of the great talents, you know, especially at his height. He might be the best short guy ever, you know, at that height.
Yeah, no, I remember Jim specifically when that battle between Jose and...
Flex Lewis and Flex Lewis.
Yeah, and he was basically the solid third guy in the call out. So it was a great prejudging at the New York Pro. Maybe what, a year ago, 2 years ago.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right.
But he has not improved really. Well, he's not improved since then. That was his best showing.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. But you know, look, you know. You got to want it. You got to want it really bad. And some of these guys are not willing to make the sacrifice. So they are. They think they are, but they just don't. They just don't do it. And, you know, like I said, you can lead a horse to drink. And that's really the bottom line, don't you think?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You can't force people. They got to want to do it.
But, you know, well, we're getting closer to the Olympia every week that we pass right here. We got a couple more qualifiers. The men's got one more qualifier that's going to be taking place in Finland coming up in 2 weeks, which I will be at. And I hear there's some crazy powerlifting going to be going on. I heard there's a guy that's going to be trying to squat 1320 or something like that, which would be a world record. It would be the world record is not. Yeah, it might be 1200 the world record. I don't know, but that's incredible, don't you think? Can you imagine that kind of? I squatted at my best. I believe it was 650 or something like that, or almost 700, seven plates on each side, whatever that equals. And I thought, and this is when I weighed 320 pounds, and I felt like there was a freight train on my back. I can't even imagine what almost double that would feel like. The pressure on your spine, I don't care what kind of super suit you wear or what you wear, the pressure has got to be incredible. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I feel like you're just... your spine just fall apart, literally. You know,
It's nuts. I'm probably the most impressed with these powerlifters with the stuff that they lift, more so than the bodybuilders. Believe it or not, although some bodybuilders are very, you know, Ronnie Coleman back in the day was crazy strong. I would have loved to have seen him do a powerlifting meet when he was at the height of his career. Brian Dobson swears that he could have broke every world record in the squat and deadlift. If he had ever bothered to enter a real powerlifting meet and put equipment on and that kind of stuff. Yeah, he
was convinced of
it. Yeah, yeah. And Brian Dobson is a powerlifter. So, you know, he's not going to insult the powerlifters.
Yeah, of course.
He's not going to insult the powerlifters by saying that.
What was his best squat?
Well, I don't know. I remember watching him squat 8 plates on each side for reps, you know, in one of his videos. I think he front squatted 600 pounds. You saw him deadlift like 9 plates off the floor. So, I mean, the weights that Ronnie was moving, and he, with the worst form you've ever seen, too, you know.
Yeah.
I've never seen a human being who have better, worse form. Like anyone else who would try to emulate that would invariably tear muscles and stuff like that because it's like the Jimmy Pelletier form. If you don't train that way all the time, you can't just try to do it and say, oh, I'll get more weight. I'll cheat like Ronnie does, you know. for Ronnie, it's a controlled cheat. He knows what he's doing, you know.
Sure, sure.
People don't realize
I'm looking on the site now, but I don't find it for... I can't find it. There was a grainy video or a little video, YouTube video, up of this week's guest pose, which was this weekend's at the New Jersey, Cedric...
Well, I sent Pete the intern there to film, and he told me he was going to do it. And then I called him up and said, how'd the guest posing go? And he's like, oh, I couldn't make it. I said, well, did you think maybe to tell me so that I can send someone else to videotape the thing? Because, you know, I could have gone there myself if I had to. I wanted to take the weekend off. Yeah, I figured I'd get this kid to go. I was going to pay him and everything. And the kid never showed up. So I bawled him out. I told him off. Probably mad at me, but that's all.
Well, it was Flexitron
and Cedric McMillan.
Sean Roden, who is Flexitron. Flexitron, the Sasquatch, which is Cedric McMillan.
Is that your nickname for him?
Yeah, Sasquatch. Yeah, because Sasquatches, you know, they come and go. You hear about them for a while, you know, Sasquatch sightings, and then they go. I mean, where is Cedric? He won the New York Pro. He's nowhere.
You remember the $6 Million Man? Remember that TV show?
Do
you remember
when they had shows?
Well, the $6 Million Man was my favorite show. For people out there who don't know, might be too young. It was about
Lee Majors
was the actor who played the role, and he played it was the $6 Million Man was a guy who was in an accident. He was a test pilot, and they rebuilt him using these what they called bionic parts. They were like nuclear powered, like robotic parts. He had two legs that were replaced, right, and he had one arm. And he had the eye replaced.
The eye, which could see anything.
Right, and then there was the bionic woman, too. But let's just stick with the bionic man. So they had an episode where the bionic man had to fight the Sasquatch, who was an alien from another planet. He came with all these aliens, these human aliens. He was like their special like robot they had built. And it was played by Andre the Giant. I don't know if you remember that. And
I did remember that episode.
Steve Austin had a battle the Sasquatch. I remember, you know, and he ripped his arm off. If you remember, no, he tore his arm like he was getting the shit beat out of him, and he pulled the Sasquatch's arm off. Ultimately, they became friends. If you remember later, and they was
you were watching it like me on the tubes in the back,
the big tubes, that the tube TV that I wound up getting and using for my my video games later in life, you know. But,
So the Jose was the third guest poser there, and Jose stole the show. Yes, yes.
Well, we could have had we could have had all the videos, but we don't because we don't have the videos because it's all Pete the intern's fault. So blame him. Yeah, I believe it. I'm sure Jose was probably in the best shape of everyone there. Sure. Yes. Let's talk a little bit about... I wanted to mention the Lance Armstrong thing. I don't know if you've been following the story.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Lance Armstrong has decided he's not going to go to trial with this case that he's being accused of using performance-enhancing substances by the International Olympic Committee. He decided he's going to take a plea bargain and plead not guilty to taking performance-enhancing substances, but guilty of the thing, and he's going to wind up being stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles, his bronze medal he won in the 2000 Olympics, and he will be banned from the sport of cycling for the rest of his life, which means that the triathlons he wants to do, he won't be able to do. So people are saying, why isn't he fighting it? Obviously, they supposedly have 10 witnesses of former teammates and people in the sport who have seen him do the drugs. And look, you and I have said this before. Victor Conti has said it. Everyone in cycling does drugs. They're all dopers.
Scooter called me today.
He called me too. I didn't answer.
Scooter Honig, real trainer of celebrities, called me today to say he heard that they were trying to give his Tour de France medals to the guys who got second, and they all failed.
Yeah, no one passed. They're all on drugs. It's not just Lance. Lance just happened to be better than all the rest. You know, he probably was. He would be better if there was still be the 7-time Tour de France winner. Maybe he would have won more. So, yeah. I mean, it just helped him a little bit. Obviously, these guys would do everything. These guys are all sleeping grounded. You know how we do the grounding pads that I bought you that use.
Yes,
Lance.
Yes.
They didn't only sleep on grounding pads. They have sleeping bags. The whole sleeping bag was grounded, and then they sleep in these bags on top of their beds to recover. Is that cheating? You know. So I think the whole thing is a crock of shit.
You know who I'm most cynical about. I'm not cynical about Lance Armstrong. I'm cynical about sponsors. Though Nike came, they said, no, we're supporting him 100%. We're right behind him. But, you know, other sponsors, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they all know the sponsors. Come on. You know what I mean?
I am absolutely livid about this whole thing. I think it's a witch hunt. I think it's ridiculous.
Hey, that's what he said. He said it's a witch hunt.
It is a witch hunt. They're not going against after the third and fourth place guys. They're going after Lance because he's in the public eye, just like they went against Barry Bonds and they went after Roger Clemens, who, by the way, beat the charges. Do you know that, right? Roger Clemens was exonerated.
I think we talked about that. He pitched three innings this weekend. I saw that in the minor leagues.
Yeah, he pitched three innings.
Minor leagues.
And I think he was just testing himself out. I think he wants to make a comeback. He's 50 years old, the guy.
He probably could still do some relief pitching at a minimum.
You think he's still juicing? You think he's still taking stuff?
No, but he's delusional. He's thinking like, no, I'm going to show everyone.
I bet he's on growth hormone. I'll guarantee it.
Yeah. Well, his wife was. So remember?
No, I didn't know that. Was she?
You didn't know that? Google it.
I don't know.
She was for sure. He admitted to that.
Oh, so he's saying that the growth hormone was hers? Is that what the idea was?
I don't know. It was in his refrigerator.
He wasn't using any, and his wife was taking it. Right. Wasn't there a bodybuilder whose mother got arrested for drugs or something like that and went to jail for the bodybuilder or something like that?
I don't want to say his initials,
But something like, I mean, that's crazy. First of all, I guarantee you Roger Clemens is on some kind of hormone replacement, okay? And you know what? At fucking 50 years old, let him be on hormone replacement. Who the freak cares? This whole thing is so ridiculous. It irks me. It irks me that they waste so much freaking time and effort and millions and gazillions of dollars testing these guys. It's so freaking nuts. I don't get it. Do people really think that Usain Bolt is natural, is clean, that he doesn't take drugs?
What will the children think, Dave?
He just hasn't been caught yet. That's all.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I know. The children,
you know, senators get up there who are bribed for their votes, for God's sakes, and say, you know, Roger Clemens, did you know what you were taking when you were taking what you were taking before you pitched? Oh gosh, you know, who cares?
There are actually kids in school who are smoking pot, they're drinking alcohol. This has been a study that came out. They're doing heroin, they're taking ecstasy pills in school, not after school. Let's forget the prescription drugs. I'm talking about the illegal drugs that are getting into schools, and they're worried about anabolic steroids. If I was a parent, I'd be thrilled if my kid was doing steroids and not doing the other stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah, unless his test level got so low he couldn't have grandchildren. I want great grandchildren. So.
You do.
Otherwise, I'm fine.
I'm making a statement. One of my mentors, Dr. Mike Kaufman, who's no longer with us, when I asked him the first time I ever brought up the idea of taking steroids, I figured, let me ask him. He knows all about it. I knew he was dabbling in himself, and I said to him, Dr. Mike, I said, what do you think about, you know, me taking steroids? I mean, I don't think I can grow anymore. I was thinking about trying them. And I know you'd be the guy to ask it. I don't want to just talk to some guy in the gym. I know you know everything about him. And he's like, I'll tell you what I told my kids. I'd rather have you guys than drink alcohol because they're a hell of a lot less toxic and a lot of less side effects. Yeah, he's like, as long as you do it responsibly. Now, that was my own personal decision. I'm not endorsing the kids should use them. And I wasn't a kid. I was in my 20s. And he wasn't talking about his kids when they were kids. His kids were also in their 20s. But, you know, they demonize it. But really, I mean, my friend's son is smoking cigarettes. The kid's an athlete. He's a basketball player. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing smoking cigarettes? You know, I don't know. He's like, oh, I'm addicted to them. I'm like, well, stop. You're addicted to them. You've been doing them for 2 years. How addicted could you be, you know?
Yeah. You only have a 24-month history.
But they're acceptable in society. People are okay with kids take smoking cigarettes. But God forbid the kid took an Anavar tab, you know what I mean, every day.
Oh, yeah.
God forbid. That's the devil.
The brain system would crash.
Yeah, the devil is after him. You know, you're a real estate mogul, Chris, and I was reading. I was actually in Manhattan today. You know what I was doing there. It was a secret meeting, but I was in Manhattan.
It was top secret. You weren't at the United Nations, but no. Close.
And I wasn't shooting anyone at the Empire State Building like that lunatic. No. That's another story we can go into.
He was losing his apartment, so.
Yeah, the guy who got fired and he decided to go kill his boss and as many other people as he could take out with him. I always worry that someone like that's going to work for me. That's why I don't fire anyone. I let them quit. I just make their life miserable till they quit, and then I don't have to live up to the. I don't have to worry about anyone coming back and shooting me. You know.
You don't trump them.
I don't like to fire people. I like people to fire themselves so they think it's their idea.
Yeah,
It's a better way to
make
get rid of
them. Control.
You know, but
it was a real estate question.
Oh, so I was in Manhattan today at a top secret meeting, and I was walking around, and I was looking at some of these crazy apartments there, and I'm like, man, oh man, oh man. If I only had the money, these apartments, talk about real estate going down. You should know this. New York City real estate has never gone down. It's going up, if anything, even in this economy.
Yes, it is going up.
Well, ex-wife of Intuit CEO William Campbell lost a $4.7 million down payment on a swanky apartment in Manhattan's Upper East this past day because she backed out of a contract to buy an $8.5 million home, which is really not a home. It's a condo, really, in the city, a luxury apartment. She complained, Chris, that the apartment floors were unfinished. It had four missing microwave ovens. There was a missing glass shower enclosure, and there were missing cooktop grates on the stove. Can you believe it?
So she forfeited the $4 million.
Well, she tried to get it back, and she went to court, and the judge said, "There's nothing. These things could have been fixed in one day. Why didn't you hang out?" And she said there was no hot water or air conditioning. Meanwhile, they hadn't turned the utilities on. So he's like, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I was just going to say she hadn't moved in yet.
So she gave up the $4.7 million. Can you believe? Wouldn't you like to have that much money that you can give up a $4.7 million down payment?
Or I would like to be the owner of the apartment to have a client as dumb as her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Look at he can sell it again for full price and... It's going to be the best deal he's ever made.
I can't even get my one tenant to pay me the rent around the corner, and this woman's got $4.7 million.
Your house.
Yeah. This guy is on bad
well, that's
news.
New York City. You know what? Manhattan is not. It's not getting bigger. You know, no matter how high they go.
Yeah. You know what she did?
You know, financial capital of the world. What'd she do?
After she turned down that apartment, she went and bought a $17.5 million. 3,800 square foot apartment at 15 Central Park West, which is one of the most desirable addresses in Manhattan. So I guess she's not too upset about it. They must have had when you have fuck you money like that, that's what I call fuck you money. It doesn't even matter anymore. Plus, she probably never worked a day in her life to earn a single penny of that. I'm sure the husband, you know, made it all. So what does she care? She probably hates the husband's guts. So she figured, fuck it, I'll burn some of his money up and lose it, you know, get him pissed off.
Well, there's tons of money like that running around Manhattan.
Yeah. The crazy apartments. When I was in there today, I was looking at some of these apartments, and I'm like, holy mackerel. But you know what? Yeah. I couldn't live in like a little shoebox like that, even though some of these apartments are huge.
Huge.
I wouldn't mind having one as like a weekend pad, but I don't know if I would want to like, I need to have like fresh air and the water and the breeze and I need it grounds me, not no pun intended, of course, but it grounds me and it keeps me, you know, like peaceful. And I think that that's important if you want to live a long life.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have so much money in Manhattan. They do only use those places for every third weekend or whatever. Yeah. You know, just like saying, you know, Dave, when I come down, I'm going to... I can't even think of the analogy because it's so ridiculous how much money people.
No. Yeah, well, you know what? When I have that much money, and I can have an apartment that I go to once a week, you know, then I know that I'm doing very well for myself. But you know what? You say you wouldn't do it, but I guess when you have so much money, you don't know what to do with it. You start buying frivolous things. Unfortunately, a lot of these sports stars that do that wind up fucking with no money when it's all over because they put the minimum money down.
Vanda's house.
Yeah, Vanda Holyfield.
Vanda's house.
You were there. You saw it.
Yeah.
How beautiful was it?
It was absolutely spectacular. Well, the swimming pool in the back is a boxing glove. That I could probably fit my, at the time I had a 43-foot Silverton. I could fit it in. I had a big boat and it would fit in this big pool.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. But, you know, look, that's life. You win some, you lose some. You can always make more money. That's what I always say. And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break. Chris, a little later in the show, we're going to have Cody Lewis, former teen national star, who's going to be doing the North American Championships this weekend. And I'm going to have him on the show. And when we get back from the commercial break, Aaron Jabaka-Singerman calling in from Boca, Florida. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at High Protein Bread. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. HighProteinBread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. In bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo. On the line now with Aaron Jabaka-Singerman, calling in from Boca Raton, Florida. What is going on? How's your wife? Is she ready to bust?
Darielle is, we are less than 2 weeks. We're less than 2 weeks out, if you put it in bodybuilding terms. We're a week and a half out of the big show. So,
from the due date.
She is, she's doing pretty D-Day.
What
she's
is the due date?
D-Day, right?
What is the due date?
September 7th is the due date.
Oh, boy. Just don't give birth on September 5th, whatever you do. I've dated two girls that were both crazy that were born on September 5th. It's not a good day. Not a good day.
Okay, don't worry. We're not going to do that. I think that if anything, she'll be late because we don't want her to be the 7th either, because keep in mind, that's when I'm covering the Sarasota Pro Show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're hoping for September 8th, 9th, or 10th. By the 10th, we're going to induce on the 10th. So 10th is the last possible day.
Right. You don't want to do September 11th either, because that's 9/11. That's not a good day either. So
no, that's true. You know, it's actually a good point. They better induce and make the baby come out before midnight of the next day, because I don't want him to be on September 11th.
Not a good birthday.
No, I may have mentioned that to her. Maybe we should induce on the 9th then.
Yeah, or either early or early in the day on the tenth. You know.
Well, they say that the doctor told me that it can take up to 12 hours. So if it pushed over midnight, that would be bad.
Start 6 in the morning, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear about this woman in Maine? 49-year-old Linda Sarus gave birth to her own granddaughter, or grandson, I should say, earlier this month. I guess the daughter was married to a guy, and she couldn't give birth because she had a heart condition. They didn't want it would be too much stress. So the mother who was the grandmother, obviously, decided that she would carry the the test tube baby. So I guess they took the girl's sperm with the husband's, the husband's sperm with the implanted into her mother, and she just gave birth. That's pretty cool, right?
It's kind of weird, right? That strikes me as strange.
Well, she's just carried the baby. That's all. She the genetic material is still the couple's.
Huh.
It's a very unselfish act.
Yeah, it is a very unselfish act. It's pouring rain here, Dave. The Hurricane Isaac is we're getting like the outer bands of it right now as we speak.
I heard they named it after Isaac Hines because he is a hurricane of a man.
Yes, he's a disaster, that's for sure. A
natural disaster, of course, right?
A natural disaster.
I believe so.
Yeah, he's a disaster. So
isn't he a natural disaster?
I think so. He's definitely not unnatural. If you look at him, he's got to be natural.
Yeah, he's a natural disaster.
We're getting the outer bands of it now. They're saying tomorrow will be worse, but it looks like it's heading into the Gulf, which is a bad thing for hurricanes, or a bad thing of people that live in the Gulf. I can tell you from living in New Orleans all those years, when a hurricane hits that warm water in the Gulf, it usually escalates.
I didn't know you were so meteorologically gifted in your
stuff. Because I've lived through so many hurricanes living in New Orleans. You always watch the news closely to pay attention to the hurricanes. And they're actually, I talked to one of my buddies, it's in New Orleans, and they're already telling them to evacuate over there.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm a little annoyed. I last week, I think I told, did I tell you or Chris the story about how I fell on the escalator because saving a kid's life?
You definitely didn't tell me.
Didn't tell you. I told Chris. Yeah, I was going up an escalator and this kid was started falling backwards, a young kid, and I caught him and I fell. And the escalator chewed up my shin, basically. And
really?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was bleeding pretty poorly, but I saved the kid's life.
If you would have actually known that was going to happen, would you just let the child fall?
No, I would have saved himself. I believe in giving. Giving. If you give, you receive. So I saved the kid. I was bleeding. So basically, I'm all scabbed up now. And what I'm doing is I'm obsessed with picking these scabs off because there's a lot of them. And it hurts because they're really not ready to come off yet, but they're kind. You ever pick a scab? It's kind of ready, but if you pull it off, it you get a little blood coming out because it probably should have waited another day or two. That's where I'm at.
I don't pick scabs. I was always told don't pick a scab because it'll make a scar.
Right? Yeah. Well, I'm picking them. I'm picking them off like crazy, and it's driving me crazy because
I thought you were going to tell me you're bathing them in apple cider vinegar and they're just curing themselves.
No, that would hurt a lot because apple cider vinegar burns. So you put apple cider vinegar on mosquito bites, but not on open wounds. That's probably not a good idea. Not a good idea. So what
that
else
very
is
unselfish.
Yeah, very unselfish. What else is going on the Aaron Singerman front over there in Boca? I heard PJ Braun now is your official neighbor down there with you and so you, Michael Popkin, and PJ Braun. I hear are training partners now.
Yeah, he Mike Popkin dropped out. He went back to he quit.
Couldn't hang with the big boys.
Yeah, I tried to take him under my wing and show him, but he decided he opted out. Your childhood best friend.
Oh boy,
he said it was too much for him and he just couldn't handle it. Actually, he said it was too boring. Actually, is what he told me.
Gotcha.
It's far too boring for him. But yeah, PJ's actually not just a neighbor. He is a resident at my house for a little while. So he is. This is his third day here, and he has a very nice blow up mattress. In our what I call our rompous room, our extra living room.
Yeah.
And I think he's been very comfortable. He cooked some nice steaks tonight. Mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
Well, that's nice.
And he's been a very busy guest. He got up at 9 in the morning and he's been steadily working till 1 in the morning. So
doing what?
Yeah. And answering emails from
his clients.
From clients. He's very, very busy.
I'm upset to tell you though, I don't have my air mattress that you slept on the last time. It's gone. When Nola moved out, when Nola moved out, she stole it. She took it with her.
Really? Why of all the things to take, Dave? That's an unusual one to take.
I know that is weird. Well, I kind of bought.
She figured she needed.
Well, I bought her bed from her, so she. I guess she needed something to sleep on, so she took the air mattress. But
that was a nice air mattress. Not as nice as the one I got for PJ, but it was pretty damn nice.
They're surprisingly comfortable. Those air mattresses.
Yeah.
People don't realize,
Well, I got PJ I got it not just for PJ, but when I have people over, because we don't have a guest bedroom, because the guest bedroom has been turned into the baby room, and then I have the office. So Yeah, so I got the, I figured if I have guests over, you know, I want to get them the nicest air mattress. So I did some research and I found the nicest one. I ended up buying it was like $220 air mattress. And it's a queen size air mattress. It's like 30 inches and it has a memory foam top on it.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a PJ serious. Should be very gratifying to you, or grateful to you, I should say, for taking such good care of him. Now, when is he officially moving into his new house that he kindly shot a video of? Although I didn't like the video. The video quality was not that great, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if it was too much light. I think the light was coming in from windows and just looked dark. I think
it's a very light house.
But I like to see videos when everything's in the house. Is he going to buy furniture or is he going to live in like an empty house?
Well, we couldn't do it like that, Dave, because there was nothing in there. He didn't have
anything. Well, why didn't you wait till he puts the house together? It looks like a freaking empty apartment, which is what it is right now.
You're the only one who didn't like it. Everybody else, I've gotten so many compliments on that.
Nah, they all kiss your ass, just like they kiss my ass. They can always tell you that.
Whatever.
I want to see everything decorated. I want to see PJ's style. That's what I want to see. That's what's going to interest me.
Whenever it gets done, maybe we'll do another one. You can see what PJ doesn't have much style, so it won't. It's not going to be like real.
Is he going to have like Farrah Fawcett posters on the wall and stuff like that?
He's the only guy I know that still wears turtlenecks and thinks they're fashionable. He loves turtlenecks.
Hey, whatever works. He's the only bodybuilder I know that has ever worn a turtleneck. He either has a tank top on or a turtleneck. I never heard of a bodybuilder who can wear a turtleneck comfortably.
You've seen him wear the turtlenecks, right?
Yeah, I have.
When he gets cold, he breaks out. He puts away the string tank tops and puts...
Wow, well, now he's in Florida. He can retire those turtlenecks.
Yeah, I told him that. His house is... He has the house. I mean, he actually got it from Mike Popkin's business partner. And it's a beautiful, really, really nice townhouse. Very spacious.
No, it looks nice.
What's that?
I said it looks very nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. He got a great deal. Mike got him a really, really great deal on the place. And the problem is that he's coming from California and all his stuff is still in California. So his dad owns a moving company and his dad had one of his big 18-wheelers pick up PJ's stuff, but they have to stop at several other places along the way and they're going to go back to New York. And because so many people come from New York to Florida, that he's going to put it on a different truck and bring it from New York to Florida. So we're looking at like 2 weeks.
My friend Bobby, when he moved from California to New York, the moving truck flipped over, actually.
Oh, my God.
Half of shit was all busted up and everything.
They pay for everything?
Yeah, they have to, yeah. He wound up getting all new stuff, which I guess worked out better for him. But he was upset because one of his he had an overall bodybuilding trophy that got all smashed. I'm like, don't worry about it. Believe me, that's the worst. That should be the smallest of your problems, basically.
You still have a lot of your trophies are still at your parents' house. We came up with that idea to auction off your trophies or give them away as prizes. I'm going to do that one day, unless you're not willing.
Yeah, okay, I actually have some of her trophies there too, still in my dad's house. Believe it or not, because we were all
who there. Does Barbara?
Yeah, I think some of her trophies are there. It's like a mixture of our trophies. That's like the 90s trophies. Then the 2000 trophies are like in my house here, but I threw out a lot of them. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I didn't even take them from the shows. It was just after a while, the first trophy was like the most prized possession I ever had. And the trophy I liked the best, believe it or not, was this crystal trophy. It was like a crystal statue that they gave out at the 94 Junior USA. And my dad gave it away. Can you believe it? He gave it to like my cousin or something like that about 5 years ago. I'm like, Dad, whatever happened to that crystal trophy? I was going to bring it over to my house here. He's like, oh, I gave it to Michael, your cousin. I'm like, why? He's like, well, he wanted something. And I'm like, and so I asked my cousin just recently, who now lives with my dad, ironically enough. And I'm like, where's that? He's like, oh, I lost it or something like that. I'm like, or broke it or something. I'm like, the one trophy I actually liked. Yeah. So
that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it figures.
Maybe I can get Leo Ingram to give me his. He took second that year. And
Leo
Derek Whitsitt died.
Where's Leo Ingram?
Derek Whitsitt won that year. I don't know. I haven't seen Leo Ingram. He's probably in a submarine someplace, right? Isn't he in the Navy?
Yeah. What do they call him? The battleship? Is that what they call him? His nickname?
I don't know.
Battleship Leo Ingram.
Maybe
he's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's
I don't know how you could fit on a submarine.
I'm claustrophobic. I went down in a submarine once for a tour, and I was so claustrophobic in there. I wasn't even that big back then. I guess I was big back then, but I don't know how Leo walks around those things. He must be banging into shit left and right, nailing his shins on all kinds of metal objects and stuff like that. Forget about it. Forget about it.
It doesn't sound like fun.
You know, I got an interesting story I want to just bring up before we do the Ask Dave questions. I'm kind of into snakes and stuff like that. You know, and ever since I had that Blecky the snake, the ball python I have in my spare bedroom there. But there was evidently in Nepal, there was a farmer who was bit by a cobra. And he decided he was going to bite it back and kill it. Mohammed Salmuddin was working in a rice paddy field in a village about 125 miles south of Kathmandu when he came upon the snake. He says, quote, "A snake charmer told me that if a snake bites you, bite it until it is dead and nothing will happen to you," Salmuddin explained. Family members later convinced Salmuddin to get to the hospital for treatment of his bite, and he has since been released. So he's okay. He made it. I don't want anyone to get upset or worried.
He killed the snake,
but he bit the he bit the cobra and killed it. That's pretty. I guess that's pretty ballsy, wouldn't you say?
I would say it's very ballsy, very very ballsy. We went to a movie theater last night that I think you would appreciate, the iPic movie theater in Boca. It's one of just a few in the country, and you get to like, they have these comfort like recliners, right? Mm-hmm. They're like red leather recliners, and everybody gets a pillow and a blanket, and they're electric. You can like lean all the way back, or you can kind of sit all the way up, and they do food and drinks, and the food is unbelievable. And we saw The Expendables 2, and otherwise it would have been like a so-so movie. I wouldn't have been too happy with it, but instead it was an awesome experience. Next time you come down to this place.
Yeah, I want to go. That's what do they charge you for a ticket in that seat?
$25
per person.
Per person.
That's crazy. What do you? It's only a totally 2-hour movie.
Totally worth it. I'm telling you. Anybody who listens is going to say that's a lot, but when you go, if you go and see this and sit through a movie, you're going to be like, wow, it's going to be hard to sit through a movie any other way. It's so good.
I must be paying you too much. I better relook at your salary.
You better start giving me some protein.
I better cut back the isolized protein that I'm sending you.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we went there, right?
Forget about the theater. How was the Expendables? It wasn't good?
It was good. It was. You know what it was? It reminded me, very reminiscent.
Be honest. Did it suck? Was the acting terrible?
It was very reminiscent of like Commando and like all the 80s action movies. You know, there was some cheesy acting, a lot of killing. But all in all, it was entertaining. It wasn't like a good movie, but it was entertaining. Like I definitely don't regret seeing it.
I don't like entertaining movies. I'll watch it when it comes on Netflix or something like that. But I was going to go see it. And I said, you know what? I didn't even like the first one. So, I liked it because of the characters in it. But I didn't really like the movie. The movie was kind of like, oh, here we go again. You're right. It's exactly like one of the 80s movies that Schwarzenegger did. Stallone's 80 movies are better than Schwarzenegger's. I got news for you. We
Jean-Claude Van Damme was in this, and Jean-Claude Van Damme was great.
Oh, he was
the best character. He was the best character in the movie for sure. Huh.
That's interesting. Maybe he's got another. Maybe
Arnold's acting skills must have slipped a little bit because his acting of anybody.
Arnold never had any acting skills. We forgot because when we were young, it seemed like he was a good actor because we were so enthralled with what his physique. Now he has no physique. We're looking at his. We're trying to listen to his acting, and we realize he doesn't know how to act really. But
no, he's horrible.
Yeah, and he probably made the most money of anyone in the movie, probably aside from Stallone. I'm sure.
Yeah.
What, did he have a big part?
Arnold, he had a, I would say, a middling kind of part. Like he had, he had three or four main scenes. I mean, obviously Stallone was the main character. Right. Jean-Claude had a bigger part than Arnold, just to give you an idea.
Did Arnold do his classic lines, "I'll be back" and shit like that?
It's funny, other people did the lines to Arnold, which I thought was interesting.
They changed it around a little bit.
Yeah. You know who was good in it was that guy, Terry Crews. The black guy, like the muscular black guy.
Yeah, who is he? Where is he from?
He's been in a lot of movies, man. He's been on that show Newsroom on HBO. He plays the security guard. Mm. He's been in a lot of movies. He's always the muscular black guy.
How was Randy Couture?
He was good. He had a small part, though. It wasn't as big as the last part, last time. And I actually think this one was better than the last one.
They should have had Carl Weathers, who played Apollo Creed. They should have had him in the movie.
He would have been great.
I actually got a... I liked him. My friend John Minello actually brought me a gift. He saw Carl Weathers at some kind of signing, you know, one of these celebrity signings, and he got an autograph from me, him dressed in the that Rocky red, white, and blue outfit, and I put it up in the studio. He's had it signed to me, so it was pretty cool. I always liked Carl Weathers. I thought he was a good character. He was great in that Predator movie, too, the original one. You remember that?
He had a very good physique in that, too.
Yeah, it was Carl Weathers, Jesse the Body Ventura. It was Arnold. Who else was in that original Predator movie? It was a good cast.
I remember. That Indian guy.
Yeah, I don't know who he was. Yeah, I don't know who was.
He was in a bunch of movies. That Indian, who else was in that one?
It was a good cast.
They had the really dark-skinned black guy. Yeah, I forget his name.
Yeah, Arnold said that what they would do is every morning they would get up and they would like go for a run and then they would work out. And it seemed like every morning someone would get up a little earlier to try to run a little bit more or work out a little longer. Like, you know, they were in competition with each other almost for that movie. And everyone looked freaky, ripped and huge in that movie. I'm sure they were all juiced to the max. I'm sure of it.
Oh, of course.
They were probably downing like Diana balls with breakfast, I'm sure, at that point for that movie.
Oh, yeah. They definitely were. What year was that they made that?
I don't know. It could have been 89 or something like that. It might have been close to, but I don't know. I lost track of the, I cannot pinpoint anything that's happened in the 80s. The only thing I remember is I graduated high school in 86. Other than that, I'm completely lost. I don't know.
I'm thinking late 80s. I think the steroids might have been still legal when that movie was shot.
Oh, yeah, they were. They definitely were. No one knew about steroids.
89, I think.
Yeah.
They were still legal. Yeah, that was last year.
Yep. I think that you're right. What do we have questions this week?
We got a lot. People are back on their game.
87.
Since I started requesting.
1987.
That's when it was made?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. So they were definitely legal then. All right, Dave, you want to go to Ask? You ready for the Ask Dave segment?
I'm always ready. Here we go.
Born ready. All right. The first one is from Barry Stalker. You know old Barry, right?
Yeah, good old Barry will be covering the British Grand Prix for us down there in the UK.
That's right. Okay, he's got two questions. Dave, I've been using Gaspari Myofusion for around a year, and recently stopped due to Myofusion's probiotic series. Swapped to the new probiotic series. It gave me a bit of a stomach ache for the first few days, 1 week, which I expected, but it doesn't seem to have changed. I'm still having the same issue a few weeks down the line. Does this sound right that a probiotic would do this for so long?
Well, I think what happened is, number one, Myofusion is a whey protein concentrate, which right off the bat has got lactose in it. I think it's the lactose that's probably, you know, fucking up his stomach. It's also got some milk proteins in it.
But he was already taking, though. He was taking it for a year with no problem.
I don't know. Do you know what the original one had in it? I don't know.
No, they're the same thing. Just one has probiotics and one doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. It's.
You think maybe the new formula has... Is to make it cheap enough to put the probiotics in it? They make more, put more milk protein in it.
I'd have to look at the label, obviously, but there might be this. Probably more than likely, they probably used a cheaper protein so that they wouldn't have to raise the price. I don't know this for sure. Usually, when something starts bothering your stomach and giving you diarrhea and stuff like that, and giving you gas, it just means that there's more lactose in it. And you know, let's face it, you know, the price of protein is through the freaking roof. It's like gasoline commodities. It's crazy. You know, I make probably the purest whey isolate on the market. Everyone knows that, and everyone thinks I'm crazy for that, and they're right, because it's so freaking expensive. And they've increased the price in the last 3 months two times, and I've sucked it up and haven't raised our prices at all, believe it or not, because of that, to help out the bodybuilders and the people who buy the product. But if they raise it, I know, and all the other companies have been raising their prices, but I'm going to have to. It sucks. And so what these companies are doing is they're cutting back on the quality of their products. I understand, especially these big companies like Gaspari, they can't lower their profit margins because they make so much product. You know, it would really screw up their bottom lines. You know, I happen to be, I guess, at a level where I can hold myself to my, you know, I have very strong convictions, as you know, Aaron, and I will not compromise the quality of our products to save a few bucks. I'd rather make less money. And what I recommend you do is, you know, stop using it. You know, if something, if you, because remember, if you're taking a product that has lactose in it and your body's fermenting the milk sugars in there rather than digesting them, you're going to malabsorb some of that protein. And so you're not getting what you think you are. Putting in some probiotics are not going to help you digest the protein. They might help the bacteria flora of your colon, but that doesn't help you digest the stuff that's in there. So you got to keep those two separate. Don't confuse the 2 points.
All right, Barry's second question. I might have been diagnosed with pigment dispersion glaucoma, still to be confirmed next week when I see a specialist. I'm currently using eye drops, which have brought the bad eye back into the normal range and improved my eyesight a little. They said I might have to stop training as it can raise the pressure. They also consider the use of anabolic steroids to be a possible contributor, although the condition does run in my family as my granddad has had it. What are your thoughts on this, as I do not want to stop training?
My dad had that, believe it or not. They sometimes called floaters. You know, you get these little things floating in your vision, line of vision. It drives you crazy. Eventually, they go away. The key is to, you know, try to make sure you take drops in your eyes to reduce the pressure. Okay, that's the key. You don't want to have a stroke in your eye, like little mini strokes or anything like that. So they usually give you like Timoptic. I know my dad uses Timoptic. You put a couple drops in a couple times a day, and it just pressure in there, and eventually those floating things that are just in your eye line of vision will get to go away. Some people it takes a long time, unfortunately. They do have a laser procedure to help the because what's happening, Aaron, is the drainage system in the eye is not good. It's like the drains are plugged up, so sometimes they can go in there with a laser and free up the drains, and that'll reduce the pressure on its own. So there's two different ways you can handle it. You can go in for the surgery, or you can do eye drops. My dad always does eye drops, and I don't really know what was causing his. I guess it really depends on what's causing Barry's condition, and his doctor would be able to tell him better than I would.
All right, next question is from John Thomas. He wants to know, Dave, my girlfriend recently got told by the plastic surgeon that she should not do any chest workouts because of the contraction of the muscles could displace her breast implants. He says that the implants are in a pocket between the muscles, and the contractions in the muscle can cause them to move out of place. Is there any validity to this claim, or can she continue working out her chest?
You got to remember, Aaron, when they put a breast implant into your body, there's two locations they could put them in. They could either put them over the muscle and under the breast tissue, which is where a breast would normally occur. Or in some people, they put them under the pec muscle, which means they have to peel up the pec muscle and they shove them under there. The problem is if you have a thick pec muscle, or if the pecs get bigger, or just training them, it could push the implant down and out to the side. Kind of, I remember Laura Craval had that problem. I think she had them fixed. But what happens is you're actually increasing the size of the pocket. It's like almost, if you ever got a big chicken breast from the raw chicken breast and you're cleaning it and it has that like right on top of the meat, you can feel like almost this film. That's like the pocket. If you put your finger in there, you can kind of separate it off. Well, that they shove the implant in there. So if that implant's moving violently, okay, it can open up that pocket now because the muscle's pressing on it. To me, it's a stupid place to put an implant. I know some girls think it looks good under there. If I had to choose where my implant was going to go, I would put it over the muscle personally, even though sometimes you can see some ripples and, you know, if you have no breast tissue, it might look a little faker. Don't try to trick anyone. They're fake. They're supposed to look fake. I like the fake look, you know, if that's what you're going for. Personally, I don't care one way or another about boobs. I'm not a boob guy, but I always say put them under the muscle because that's where they should be. Put them over the muscle because that's where they should normally be. But obviously, that's a personal decision. Is it true what he's asking me? It could be. I'm sure if she's not lifting crazy heavy and her pec muscles are not super, super dense like some of these women bodybuilders, I don't think she has anything to worry about personally.
All right. Next question from Melanie Martinez. Does Anavar interfere with the efficacy of contraception?
It could. It could. It's a very hard. It's kind of like saying, do anabolic steroids prevent a guy from getting their girl pregnant? I would say yes, most of the time. But you proved, you know, that wasn't true. You got got Darielle pregnant. So the question is Anavar good at acting as a birth control? Will it screw up if you are taking birth control? it can in both instances. And so if you're going to take Anavar, I wouldn't even bother taking the birth control, to be honest with you. I'm assuming you're probably getting ready for a show. You might as well stop it and maybe then start it up again when your diet is over. And just be a little more cautious, obviously, as far as when you're having sex goes. But it's hard to not... I would not trust the birth control while you're taking Anavar. But then again, some girls would say you can't get pregnant when you're on Anavar. And that's not the case. You can get pregnant when you're on Anavar.
All right. Next question. Oh, she also wanted to know, Dave, about clenbuterol. Could clenbuterol do anything about the... or could it affect the oral contraception?
No. No, that wouldn't have any interaction.
So clenbuterol is good to go.
Right, because it's non-hormonal. That's why.
All right. This is from Rock Hard in Amarillo, Texas. Most drug testing sports involve a testosterone to epitestosterone ratio of 1:4 or 1:6 to determine the status of an athlete. Can you please explain the testosterone to epitestosterone ratio and how it affects affected by performance enhancing drugs? What are its effects, and is it an accurate indicator?
All right, this is what they do. When they test for anabolic steroids, they take a urine test sample and they test for metabolites. What that means is that when the different anabolic steroids are broken down in the body, they produce certain waste products. DECA produces a certain metabolite. Winstrol produces a different metabolite. Trenbolone, another metabolite. So they can identify these metabolites if you've used the drug. Testosterone produces testosterone metabolites, which are exactly the same as our natural testosterone in a man's body. So you really can't detect metabolites for testosterone. So what they do instead is that they take advantage of an interesting phenomenon. In our bodies, when our bodies naturally produce testosterone, a certain proportion of it is converted to epitestosterone, which is an isomer of testosterone. So let's say, you know, usually it's about a 2-to-1 ratio. So for every molecule of testosterone, for every two molecules of testosterone, you have one molecule of epitestosterone. When people take exogenous sources of testosterone, meaning testosterone injections or pills or whatever they're taking, the stuff you're taking will raise testosterone level, but it won't raise epitestosterone level. So if you're taking like a kilogram of testosterone a week, your ratio might go up to 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 or 6-to-1 or 7-to-1, meaning you have way more testosterone, way less epitestosterone. And that's how they catch people cheating. Now, the flaw in the whole system is like what Victor Conti pointed out, is that you could take a decent amount of testosterone and still fit into that 4-to-1 ratio, 3-to-1, you know, 6-to-1 ratio, depending on what they're, I know the Olympics, it's 4-to-1, I think. So what a lot of these guys do is they take they'll put testosterone gel on, they'll put the cream on at night, and then or they'll put a patch on, and then they take it off the next day, and then if they got tested, their ratios never would go above 4-to-1, and that's how Lance Armstrong and all these Tour de France guys always beat it, because it doesn't raise the ratios up that high. Now, obviously, if you're injecting 1,000 milligrams a week, your ratio might go up to 10-to-1, 11-to-1, 12-to-1, you'd be caught in a second. That's why a better test, really, and this is what Victor Conti has been pushing for in the Olympic testing realm and all the sports, I should say, is just use the test for synthetic testosterone. They could actually have what's called a carbon isotope test. They could tell if your testosterone in your body is actually produced from your testicles or if it's synthetically made. They can tell that. They have the test. It's expensive, but they have the test. It would be a lot easier just to use that test than to try to play around with ratios that in everyone's body is completely different.
Let me ask you a question about Victor Conti. Why does Victor Conti care? Why does he want to help get athletes busted for taking stuff now when he was helping them get away with it before?
Well, I think he realizes the error of his ways in a sense that he thought what he was doing was cool, you know, helping these guys win, you know, at all costs. And then he realized that maybe he was doing a disservice, you know, because he was a little too knowledgeable, too smart for his own good in a sense. And he was, you know, look, it sounds glamorous when you're going out to Olympics invited by these athletes and you're going to parties with them and they're raving that you're the greatest, next greatest thing. You know, he did his time. He did his 3 months in jail. He paid his fine. And, you know, now he figures this way. If the sport's going to clean itself up, don't be a bunch of hypocrites and do it half-assed. If you don't test these guys once a month, they're going to get away with it. The Jamaicans have no random testing. In the offseason, they could take whatever drugs they want. He realizes that's a hypocritical. If you're going to tell these guys when you're going to test them, it's like passing an IQ test, because they know when they have to beat the test. They can stop the drugs in time. Also, if you're not going to test them for testosterone isotopes, they're going to take testosterone. They're going to put patches on. We know how these all work. These Tour de France guys, they ride all day. They get home. They get into their beds. They slap on a testosterone patch. They wear it all night. They recover better. They take it off in the morning. They ride all day. Then they get tested when they get off the bike. By the time they get tested, the stuff's out of their system already. So everyone's doping. And Victor just feels that, look, if you idiots are going to do this right, let me tell you how to do it and catch these guys. If you really want to clean the sport up, that is, you know.
All right. Next question from Air Force One. Dave, when judging a bodybuilding contest, what specifically do you look for in a physique? And then the next question is, which professional in your mind has the ideal bodybuilding physique? What year? What person?
The most important aspect of bodybuilding is, I would have to say, mass and conditioning. Obviously, you want nice shape and structure and balance. But I think that initially, you know, you like to see a lot of muscle and you like to see a well-conditioned body. I mean, no one will say that, you know, no one will deny the fact that a freaky bodybuilder on stage ripped is awesome to look at. Now, once you have to evaluate him against other people, you have to take into account shape. I always felt that if a guy was not in his best condition possible, he really shouldn't be evaluated for first place. I feel that everyone's conditioning should be pretty close to perfect, and then you should be evaluated. But that's not how they judge. They judge by whatever looks better. And with that, who's got the best combination of shape, symmetry, conditioning, and muscularity? And it's really hard to pinpoint what's the best, because you have to see it, you know. And then that's where a cautious eye comes in, or a guy who's been doing this a long time can tell you. What physiques do I like? You know, I love the mass monsters of the past. I love Dorian. I love Ronnie. I love Nasser's body. But I also like the pretty physiques. I also like the Flex Wheelers and the Kevin Lavronis and the Sean Rays, you know, of the era. Nowadays, I think one of the most blessed physiques out there, and I think that, once again, if he can put on a little bit more size, he's going to be a very dangerous Olympic competitor, is Sean Roden. I think that in this modern era, he might be the next coming of what I would, I guess, classify as the close to the perfect physique. But that's just my opinion, you know.
All right. Next question. Let's see. Here we go. This is from PTB from the boards. I had a vasectomy 9 years ago after my wife gave birth to our third child. Outside of semen volume and explosiveness, things are fine. I'm wondering, should I be concerned with the long-term effects of testosterone? Should I expect testosterone levels to drastically drop at some point? I've heard that the links between vasectomies and increased risk of prostate cancer. Are these valid concerns? And would you recommend this as a birth control option for men, especially bodybuilders?
I'm not big on the vasectomy, Aaron. Number one, I don't like doing anything down there. It requires surgical intervention. Number two, I don't like the idea that what you'd basically do when you do a vasectomy is the testicles produce the sperm down there, and then there's basically a tube that carries them into the into the urethra, where then it's obviously ejaculated out of the body. What they do is they ligate, or they close off those tubes. So the body's still producing the sperm. It just can't get up the tube and into the urethra. Now, I don't know how healthy that is when you're ejaculating and it's being blocked. It's like kinking a hose off. It would seem like the pressure would be incredible down in your testicles if the stuff can't get out of there. I don't know. I never had it done. I've never really interviewed anyone who had it done. Maybe I should. As far as the prostate goes, the prostate still can relieve itself and release its seminal fluid, or its prostatic fluid, I should say, into the urethra. So that's not a problem with the prostate. There should be no reason why a person should have a higher incidence of prostate cancer whatsoever. And what was the other thing? Oh, testosterone levels don't have any effect, because the testosterone that's produced in the testicles is released into the bloodstream, and they're not cutting that off. So the only thing that's being blocked is the sperm from leaving the testicles and going into the urethra. So from a health standpoint, it really shouldn't be bad. From a visual standpoint, since I know physiologically what's going on, it seems a little disturbing, the fact that sperm can't get out of there. But evidently, the testicles will break down any sperm that's left in there over the time, you know, from what I understand.
All right. Next question. It's from Jason D. What else can be done about acid reflux, to reduce acid reflux? I already take... I'm going to try to pronounce this for you, Dave. Omeprazole?
Yeah, Omeprazole.
And I've tried other antacids too. And the biggest help was going keto. Sometimes after a cheat meal or an off weekend, it's bad enough that I get a sore throat for a week. Sometimes I even get infections. I have the occasional flare-ups even when on keto, just not as bad. I can't find a link to a specific food yet. What do you think, Dave?
Well, you know what my answer is going to be. First of all, omeprazole is Prilosec. That's the antacid. A lot of people recognize by that common name. But the problem is that there's an over-acidification of the body. And it's, some people's bodies will release those acids into the stomach. Some people's through the skin. And those are the people who break out a lot and get like irritated skin. I believe, and I know there's a lot of our listeners out there who have contacted me and thanked me profusely for talking about this. Apple cider vinegar, Bragg's apple cider vinegar with mother, which means it has the pulp in it. You shake it up, you take a tablespoon 3 to 5 times a day and 8 ounces of water, and you'll never, ever, ever, ever get acid reflux. Trust me. And if you get acid reflux, take a tablespoon of that and 8 ounces of water, and you'll never have a problem again. It instantly takes it rid of it. Get rid of your fucking Prilosec. It's fucking bad for you. Get rid of it, dump it, throw it out, and use the apple cider vinegar. I guarantee you, you're going to write me an email thanking me profusely. And you can send me Christmas presents to Post Office Box 1122, Seaford, New York, 11783.
All right. This one is from Gordon Carpenter. I take the following supplements: cod liver oil, creatine, multivitamin, fiber, and fat burner. Is it okay to take all of these in the morning at the same time, or do I have to split them up?
You can take it. I usually take pills twice a day. So I take half in the morning, half at night. But as long as you're taking it with food and not taking it on an empty stomach, you're fine.
He also wants to know, tell me about whole grain breads and wraps. Is that good for a bodybuilder? I go to school full-time, and I work full-time, so it's easier for me to eat chicken with a whole grain tortilla wrap or a whole grain bread as opposed to sweet potato or rice.
Mm-hmm. It's all right if you're not on a contest diet. If you're on a contest diet, you might want to do that. You know, it's just there's a lot of other stuff in those wraps that are not good for you. I think it was you. Weren't you with me when we went to Chipotle? We were looking at the calories and the composition of those, of the wrap part of the Chipotle, and it was like,
yeah, they were really, it was surprisingly,
it was like
high,
800 calories high, or something like that. It was like ridiculous. Yeah. After I read that, not that I have to worry about calories, I stopped ordering the wrap and I started just getting in a bowl. They put the rice and the chicken in a bowl and I eat it that way, because those wraps are horrendous. So you got to read what's in your wrap. I don't know if they do sell high fiber wraps that have almost no net carbs in them. They're almost all fiber. Those are much better than some of the like white bread wraps where they just put a little brown coloring in it to make it look like a wheat wrap. Those are really not that good. So, you know, investigate, read your ingredient list. If there's 4,000 ingredients in there, it's probably not good for you.
Jeff Kaplan wants to know, Dave, what happened to Muscle University?
Muscle University was canceled because Dr. Conley had some other obligations, and he just couldn't put the weekly, I guess the once a week time into it. And it was, you know, he's not a young guy anymore. You know, you and I live on the radio and we do all this stuff. And it was a lot of work for me too, but you know, he has to prepare topics and, you know, it was tough for him. So, you know, we were not doing it anymore. I'll still have him on Heavy Muscle Radio, you know, every other month or so, just to talk about topics and stuff like that. That's less stress for him. I think he was getting stressed out by it, and I didn't want him to do that. I said, Scott, look, this shouldn't be a stressful situation for you. And so we decided to just can it. But it could come back. You know, it could come back in another incarnation, you know, maybe down the road.
All right. Apuz wants to know, Dave, I was wondering if you ever heard of the Paleolithic diet plan and what your opinion was of it.
You know, I just got asked that. Dr. Gabrielle Young, who I had on the Heavy Muscle TV show, we haven't put that one up yet. She's going to be doing the upcoming chips in the figure division, and she was looking dazzling as always. She was in our studios again, and she was telling me she's on the Paleolithic diet. I think Lane Norton is doing her diet. I think does he believe in the Paleolithic diet?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. We don't talk about diet stuff.
Unless I'm confusing her with someone else. It's possible. But the Paleolithic diet is basically similar to my diet. It's protein and fat coming from, you know, animals, products, nuts and berry, nuts and stuff like that, and seeds and oils. And then they also allow fruits and vegetables, because that's anything that's like you could pick outside, you know, that kind of thing. But
you can have as much of it as you want, Dave.
You can, but you know what? People who follow the Paleolithic diet don't eat a lot of fruits usually. I know she wasn't eating any fruits, so it's really it's another way of saying my diet. It's very similar to it's high protein, moderate fat approach, low carbs. They don't use any starchy carbs or you know, refined carbs in there at all.
Huh? Interesting. I was wondering if that would work for me. Me and Daryl were talking about if I wanted to be healthier. I don't eat that much meat though.
Well, you don't need to eat meat. I mean, you can eat chicken and fish and stuff like that. Your problem is that you could eat the starchy carbs. You got to stop eating the unhealthy starchy carbs. You can't eat like Krispy Kreme donuts for your carb source, you know, for a meal, or an apple pie or whatever you eat, pumpkin pie. You know, you just need to eat, you know, like rice and brown rices and oatmeal and more, you know, lower glycemic carbs, I think. But you'll never do that.
I had my blood work done for a basic panel done for my life insurance. Now you have kids, wife, you get health and life insurance. And I was very surprised. The first time in my life, my cholesterol was high.
Wow. And that, you know what raises cholesterol? High sugar intake.
Yeah, that's right.
These doctors are idiots. They'll tell you stop eating eggs and stuff like that and red meat, but it's really from high sugar intake. What was it?
I was very surprised. It was when I did it at Envision Medical, it was 144. Mm-hmm. And when I did it recently, it was 200.
It could be influenced by what you ate the night before, too. So keep that into it. Take that into account. So if you had a really junky meal the night before, it could influence that value. You should get it retaken. It might go right back to normal.
Oh, I'm definitely getting it retaken because the insurance went from like $40 a month to like $110 a month.
Oh, boy. You got to get retested.
So I'm going to redo that thing for sure. I told the lady, I was like, no, she's trying to prep. No.
You better go on
I have a thing. What's that?
You better go on my detoxification program for 2 weeks and then go get tested.
No, I'll probably be very low then.
Yep. And then they'll probably lower you to $20 a month.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. They didn't like my weight for my height either, which was which is not good. They didn't like. They said that was my weight was too heavy for my height.
They're so stupid with these height weight charts. They still use for life insurance. They're a bunch of freaking morons. They should know by now that you have no body fat in your body. I had a friend. He was a huge guy, and he had to get under 290 pounds, or they wouldn't give him this life insurance policy. He starved himself. Didn't train, nothing, just to get his weight down for one day. I mean, how stupid. I mean, it's ridiculous. They'll give you the policy if you can get it down for one day. It's like making weight for a fucking show, you know, and then you could be fucking 80 pounds heavier the next day and you're fine. You still get the same weight.
Maybe I should take a diuretic.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, go dehydrate yourself. Deplete yourself for fucking a week and you'll make the weight and you'll get the $40 payment and then you'll move forward. You can do whatever you want after that.
I mean, it is significant because if you think about it, people are going to say that's not a lot of money, but I'm going to pay that for 30 years.
Oh, you're nuts. So, don't do that. What are you, crazy? Get that thing done.
Yeah, so it would be, the difference is like $80 a month for 30 years is a lot of money. You know, that's a big difference. Yeah.
$80 a week or a month?
$80 a month. If you think about it, $80 a month is $960 a year for 30 years. Mm. It's like $30,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for the difference of weight and the cholesterol.
Actually, I think it's isn't $4,500 a month? $4,500 a year?
What did I say?
I don't know.
80 times 10 is 800. Time plus 2 is 960.
Oh, it's per month. I was thinking years. Sorry. My mistake. I was thinking weeks.
You're lucky it's not Stump the Jumbo time. You'd be in trouble.
That's right. That's right. I don't do math. No math problems on Stump the Jumbo. I don't take any math.
Okay, James wants to know, I've always had a problem losing that last bit of stubborn fat in my legs and glutes. It's really been keeping me from dialing it in. You mentioned once that Tony Freeman used an anti-estrogen for targeting his lower body fat, and you believed in this ideology. Can you please elaborate?
Well, I mean, if you have estrogen-dependent fat in your lower body as a male, or even a female, and you take an anti-estrogen, okay, as a man, you would take an aromatase inhibitor, like Arimidex or Femara, it theoretically will reduce the estrogen, and it will prevent the fat cells down there from being sensitized to the estrogen. So if it is estrogen-dependent fat, you would get leaner there, or you would at least tighten up down there, or hold less water there. If it's not, then it's not going to do anything. So, you know, you can try it. You can try a half a milligram of Arimidex every day and see how that works out.
All right, the next on our list is Dan Kennedy, my friend from Canada. I got to say thank you for Dan. He says he likes the name Asher for my son. And I'm sorry, Dan, I didn't give you a shout out on Iron Empire Radio, but you're getting a real good one now. So here are his two questions.
Okay.
One, Dave, I picked up an Ion Pod from Dave's website, and I was wondering how to wash it. Can it be done in the sink with the rest of my dirty dishes? I wouldn't think so. Dave, any suggestions?
I would wash it separately. I don't. I'm not one of these people who fills up the whole sink with soapy water and washes all the dishes together. I wash everything separate. So I would do that. I think it's even safe to put it in the dishwasher, I believe. But I would wash it by hand. I don't think it needs to be put in there.
Also, can water get too alkaline? I fill a bottle and let it sit for a few days. Is that still okay to drink?
No, you don't want to. First of all, it won't get any more alkalinized. As a matter of fact, it will get less alkalinized over the course of time. So try to drink your water within 12 hours of making it. You know.
All right, next question is from Matt Diogenes. And he wants to know, he's got a few questions.
Here. Yeah, don't tell me all of them.
Okay. what is the ideal testosterone for somebody on their level for TRT? So like, you know, is 800, 1,000?
I like to come in. I know normal high is 850. I like to come in around 1,000. I think that's perfect. You know, everyone's different. Most doctors would like to see in the 850 range because that's the normal high. But I like 1,000. I think that's perfect. I usually feel really good when I'm about 1,000, or, you know, 1,050, somewhere around there.
He also wants to know, to get an accurate blood test, when should he have, if he's taking testosterone and anthate, when should he go in and get the blood work done to see where his level should be, if he's right at the right spot?
Once you're on an anthate, it's so long acting, it doesn't matter when you go in. Your level should always be pretty much consistent, because it's a slow release. You could take a shot now, and tomorrow it's not going to be higher, any higher than it was last week or the week before that, because it doesn't explosively raise levels. It's a very trickle effect.
What's your feelings about subcutaneous injections of testosterone?
I know some people seem to be doing that now, but I think there's no reason for that. Number one, it hurts a little bit. Number two, I don't want that oil under my skin. It's going to leave like a blotchy spot. Just put it right into the muscle. I think deep intramuscular injections are the way to go.
Egg Sucking Leech wants to know, Dave, do you recommend L-taurine for lower back problems, pump problems?
No, I don't think it's going to do anything. You know, I put a little, there might be a little taurine pre-workouts formulas, but they don't, in and of itself, it's just an amino acid. It's not going to really do much.
Robert Keenan has asked me this question multiple times. Robert, this question is far too long.
Forget it. Don't read it. If it's too long, don't read it.
No. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell Robert, you resubmitted it three times. The reason why I haven't read it is because it is several paragraphs. Keep it really short, please. Eddie Shorter wants to know, I wanted to ask Dave, my mom has been having trouble sleeping and she's been prescribed sleeping pills, but they don't work. She listens to your show and thinks you're very knowledgeable. What do you think she could do about her sleeping problems?
Wow, we got moms now listening to the show. That's pretty impressive, I have to admit. There's a lot of young people that are watching they're listening to our show and I'm watching the TV show for that matter, and it's making me feel kind of good. I think we're influencing the younger generation, and that's what I wanted, because I was waiting at some point to see if the young generation would appreciate what we're doing. Obviously, they can relate to it, and that's good, because I think that's important. We can train them properly the first time around. Now, trouble sleeping. I would, not to try to plug my own products, but I would try my Somalize product, which is my nighttime sleep aid and fat burner. It's more of a sleep aid, really, than a fat burner, and it will suppress your appetite a little bit, which a lot of people like at night. But the GABA and melatonin combination is sensational for putting people in a very restful, natural, you know, type of sleep. Number one, melatonin, will put you in a very deep, restful state of REM sleep, which is one of the rest, the most, when cats take cat naps, they go into REM sleep, and they can get a 15-minute nap. It's like they slept for 2-3 hours. So you want to be in more REM sleep. So that melatonin is really good at that, and it keeps your biorhythms regular. And then, of course, GABA stimulates GABA receptors in the brain, which, as we know, are the same receptors that Xanax and Valium work on. So when you take GABA, you get a Valium or a Xanax-like relaxation in the body, and that helps you fall asleep as well. Try that, 3 pills, about 20 to 30 minutes before you go to bed.
All right. Next question. We only got 2 left, Dave. We're going to do 2 more.
All right.
This one's anonymous. What do you recommend is a more safer underground laboratory or a veterinarian grade steroids? Because pharma is out of it. So what's better, underground lab or?
If it's a legitimate veterinary lab that makes veterinary products for, like, you know, real companies, I would say go with that, because that's at least got some kind of control on it. People don't understand, veterinary drugs are not made in like a vat. They're made with the same sterility as human grade medications. Okay, so you know, people always say, "Oh, I'm taking, you know, Winstrel V." Always, people didn't know Winstrel. The reason it was called Winstrel V is because it was Winstrel Veterinary, but it was made with the same, you know, type of, you know, quality control as the regular human Winstrel. So I would always go with the veterinary version over the homemade broods, you know, because you never know what people are putting in those things.
All right, last question. This is from Justin Bassio. You mentioned Undernature Collagen Type 2 as a possible breakthrough joint supplement. Do you have any updates on this? I've been using it in conjunction with my normal joint care supplementation and currently haven't been having any of my normal joint pain.
I take Life Extension's UCP2, which is undenatured undenatured chicken collagen protein, and I noticed a little bit of a relief in my joints as well. And I haven't, the great thing is I don't notice anything in my other joints, which is really what I'm trying to prevent. I don't know if I'm going to ever heal my shoulders. I like to, in my mind, believe I'm going to heal them, but my other joints are very good, so I think it has some merit. I was going to actually add it to my Arthrolyze formula, but it's very cost prohibitive. I mean, it would have like almost doubled the price of the product. And to be honest with you, you need a very high glucosamine MSM product, and Arthrolyze is super dosed at that. So people love it. I didn't want to put it out of the ballpark on price because I don't really know how much the undenatured. It certainly doesn't warrant doubling the price of the glucosamine, you know, MSM product, the Arthrolyze. So that's why I didn't do it.
All right, you ready for some Stump the Jumbo?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. I'm finding the question right now, Dave. We got a bunch of them, so I don't want to pick a good one.
Just pick 2 or something like that. I don't want to do too many of them.
I know. I just want to make sure we get good ones. That's all. Let's see. Okay, how about this one? Okay, this is a good one. Oh, this is from Mark Dom.
Who won? Who won last week? There was a guy who won last week. He's gotten 3 shirts from us already. He can't enter anymore. I don't remember which guy it was, but do you remember who won?
You want me to look?
Nah, you look after. No, once you win 3 shirts, you can't win anymore. So don't ask me any more questions.
All right. Well, this guy, Mark Dumb, I don't think has won any. Dave, you are without a doubt a big wig in the bodybuilding industry. How did the term big wig come to represent a person of power and influence?
Big, I would have to imagine it went back from the guys who wore wigs, like George Washington and those people. I know there was a wig party, you know, that people don't realize that there was a wig party, you know, like the Democrats, Republicans, and they were called the Whigs. I think that was the one that the George Washington belonged to. And I would assume that's where it came from. But let me just think about it before I make my final guess here. Yeah, I would say it comes from the politicians, the big wig politicians back in the day, you know, George Washington, all those guys.
That's actually not really right, but it's right enough, I think. Because the answer is it comes from the reign of Louis the 14th. Wigs were virtually obligatory for all European nobility or persons of quality. Mm-hmm. But I think that you don't need to know, like, the. I think that's still correct because it was around the same year
politics,
as George Washington.
Yeah,
politics. Yeah, politics. So I think it's good enough.
Okay.
I'm going to give that to you, Dave.
Okay. Thank you.
Good try. And by the way, he did give all the pertinent information, his name, size of the t-shirt, and links to prove that the answer that he gave me is correct. Let's do a bodybuilding one. What do you say about that?
Let's do a bodybuilding one.
What was the first IFBB contest ever staged in the United States.
Interesting. That's a good one. I'd have to guess on this one, though. First bodybuilding kind of, he actually has a reference to this. It's crazy esoteric where I'm not going to get it, just tell me now and I won't even guess. If it's something that I should know, then I'll make the guess.
I don't know if you should know it or not, but you know, it seems like something that you could know.
It wasn't the Tampa Pro Show, was it?
Yeah, come on. No, be serious.
I'm trying. First IFBB Pro bodybuilding contest in the USA is got to be, let's see, probably it was held in New York City, I would think. Well, Joe Weeders and Ben started the IFBB back in, when did they start the IFBB? Was it back in, was it 65 that they started the IFBB? Because I know they got fed up with the, and they wanted to make, was it, could it be the Mr. Olympia? That's a good question. I'm going to say the first Mr. Olympia contest.
The answer is, the first IFBB contest ever held was Dan Lurie's Mr. New York State, held on January 15th, 1948.
Never would have
at
known.
Brooklyn Academy of Music. Joe and Ben Weider had nothing to do with that contest. The previous contest promoted by Dan had been sanctioned at the time by the AAU. The AAU refused to sanction the 1948 contest, and Dan came up with the name International Federation of Bodybuilders.
I thought Ben Weider came up with that. No?
In May of 1947 and registered it with the city of New York at that time. The IFBB website claims that the IFBB was formed in 1946, yet the article in Joe Weider's Your Physique magazine proposes the formation of the IFBB in December 47. Ben Weider held a show in Canada October 10th, 1947, but nowhere on the flyers does that show, the name IFBB appear. The June 1948, Your Physique announces the first IFBB contest was to be held at the Mr. Eastern North America on May 28th, whatever. So there is a, I'm looking at a poster here for the Mr. New York State, Dan Lurie.
Where did you get the, where was this printed, this information?
This is on the Dan Lurie website.
Who knows if it's even true? It probably is, but you know.
It's also in the Muscle Memory website. If you go to musclememory.com, it is okay. On there too.
All right. We'll give it to him.
That's a pretty good, well researched question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, too bad Ben Weider's not alive. I'd love to fucking get him on the radio and ask him about that. I'm sure he's got his own store version of that story.
I am sure that not everybody agrees with it, but it was a good, it was definitely a good question. Well,
the truth is, I didn't know the answer anyway, so even if he was wrong, I wouldn't have gotten it right. So.
Okay, cool. That's it then. We'll just stop it there. We got one winner and one loser there.
All right. Congratulations to the winner. That was a good question. I like to see good questions, and I don't mind giving out t-shirts when I get a good question.
All right, Dave. Well, that is the end of Ask Dave for the day, week. You can send your questions to jubak@rxmuscle.com, and we'll do the spiel again next time if we need to.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. I won't see you next week. You're off next week. I will be at the North American Championships. The following week, you will be down with Chris Aceto at the Sarasota Pro Show in Sarasota, Florida, while I am out at the Nordic Pro Show in Finland with Sally Ann. And then we will reconvene in 3 weeks at the Mr. Olympia contest. Good luck if Daryl happens to blow.
I'll be seeing you at the Briss first.
Before the Mr. Olympia? Depends when the Briss is. What if she gives birth like tomorrow, you know? I'm going to be in...
Well, then I'll see you at the Briss then.
I won't be able to make it then. I'll be in Finland or something like that. I don't know. It depends.
I guess that's true. If she gave birth tomorrow... Yeah, you would be in Finland, or you would be around Finland, yeah. Because it's 8 days after the birth, so it would be close. It would be close call.
We'll see. I really want to come, and I will make every effort to come, but I'm not guaranteeing it just because of the time of year it is. If it happens in the off 3 weeks, then I will probably be able to make it down there. So once again, I'm sending out my best well wishes to Darielle in her last few weeks of pregnancy. You should be documenting this, by the way, Aaron, on video because your child might want to see this at some point in the future.
Yeah. I have her. Did you ever see the video of her doing her bodybuilding poses in the bathroom,
I
fully pregnant.
I don't think your son wants to see that. Can't you do some like straight stuff, like maybe you talking to the to her stomach or something like that? You know, giving your son some advice or something like that. You know, this way he'll get a laugh at that. I think. I don't think he wants to see his mom like posing. You know, probably not going to be the greatest.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was cute.
I could see him sitting around with his friends and his friends popping this video in and they're saying, "What the hell is this?" And the kid's like mortified, you know, by the fact that you and his mom are like doing these silly fucking poses.
I am absolutely sure that he could just go through my 300 videos on YouTube and probably find a lot of embarrassing ones already.
And more to come. Plenty more to come, believe me.
More to come, yeah.
All right, Aaron. We will see you I don't know when I'm going to see you, but I will talk to you next week on the show. Best of luck with Dario.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron
Sirens. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian-owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Our next guest was the 2010 NPC Teen Nationals Heavyweight Champion. He was also the North American Teen Overall winner. In 2011, he won the Contra Costa Open in the men's division. And this year, he's been, I guess, tempting the fates in the pro qualifying shows of the USA Championships. And this weekend, he'll be doing the North American Championships. The guy I'm talking about is the youthful Cody Lewis. Welcome.
What's up, Dave? How are you doing, man?
You know, we've been talking so much. So when you were a teenager, that it's kind of nice to talk to you as an adult now. And yeah. What are you, 21, 22 now?
Yeah, I'm 21.
Okay, so you're still probably one of the youngest guys probably up on the pro qualifying stage. You got your feet wet at the USA Championships this year, made a little miscalculation, dropped down to the heavyweight class, finished 11th. I know you were not happy. Tell us a little bit about what happened for that show.
Well, pretty much, like I was telling you earlier, I cut down. I was 238, and I looked really my best, and I kept losing more and more weight to try and make 225 for the heavyweights, and I just came in way too flat, way too sucked up, and, I mean, I was shredded, but that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for shredded and big, and I was just way too shredded and basically stringy for the heavyweight class, and these guys, they came in really, really shorter and a lot fuller and bigger than I was. So now I'm just going to pick it up to super heavyweights.
Were you nervous since this was your first big, you know, pro qualifying show? Is that why you were hesitant to do the supers?
Yeah, because I wasn't confident enough that I was big enough. And then seeing the guys, I was like, thinking, you know, and seeing myself now, how good I look now, and once I filled out, and then still tight, I'm thinking now I'm a lot more confident. But my first show, it's just a learning experience. You never know, you know, it's your first national show, you gotta learn.
Sure.
So.
And you are you very young in the sense that you don't have that much stage experience. It's pretty amazing when I was talking to you. You know, you weighed in at 225 for the USA, and you're going to probably, what are you weighing around? Still around 240 almost for the right now at this point, about four days out?
Right now I'm at 249, and I plan, once I cut water and everything, I'm planning to come in at 240 on stage.
That's an incredible jump. It reminds me of Shelby Starnes when I helped him back a couple years ago. He was he sucked down to welter weight at 165 pounds, and then 3 months later for the Nationals he was a light heavyweight at 198
wow.
pounds. So
wow, something. Yeah, that's how my body's done it. Basically, it's crazy because it's just I started eating and I kept looking better and better, and it's just kept doing the same thing. It just keeps growing, but I'm not putting on any fat, so I mean, I'll take it, you know what I mean?
Now, I saw some recent update pictures of you from your trainer Steve DeLuca, and I noticed that you're not sporting the typical Cody Lewis mohawk.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I grew out of that. That old mohawk was just too young, and it's now and it's not like we talked when I was younger. I was always like real stubborn with it. Everyone wanted me to cut it off because they said, you know, you're not as promotable like that, and we can't really use you for anything. So I changed my look because I want to be able to be more promotable, you know, and be able to be used in magazines and stuff like that.
To be honest, to give you some credit, I think you had that thing before a lot of other guys did. I think, you know, people kind of copied you in a sense because I remember you had it a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, man, I had that thing. I actually had that mohawk since I was 15 years old.
Yeah, that was before anyone had mohawks, you know.
Yeah, I think the only one that had it before me was like Chuck Liddell, and that's where I got the idea from. I'm like, that's a cool haircut. You know, my friend was like, yeah, you look good with that, and so I tried it out, and it looked good, and then everybody just followed it ever since.
That's funny.
You know?
That's fun. It's good to be a trendsetter in this industry, at least. And
Definitely. But it was time for a change.
Sure. You know, it's important to constantly, you know, recreate yourself, and tell me when you got in touch with Steve, because Steve DeLuca was kind of out of the, I've been friends with Steve for many years, and Steve was out of the industry for a while. It seems like you sucked him back in because he hasn't done contest prep in a while, and he's took a real interest in liking you, and he's, you know, he speaks very highly of you, obviously for good reasons. Obviously, I know you for a long time as well. How did you guys hook up?
Yeah, well, actually, we hooked up through Painless Bumps. I was talking to him about Painless Bumps, and basically, he was telling me all the knowledge about it, and then we started. I just was listening to him talk, and I'm like, man, this guy is very smart. You know, he knows everything about the body, like just talking about how muscles work and everything, and, you know, and telling me about his past history of training people. And I was dealing with some problems with my trainer at the time, and I was kind of like basically training myself, and I was like, I need someone to train me. So we started talking, and I was sending him pictures and stuff, and he started steering me in the right direction, and I kept growing ever since then. And I hooked up with him about 6 weeks before the USA's, and he told me before the USA's, he said, about right when I met him, he said, you have to be a super heavyweight. You can't be a heavyweight at the USA's. You're going to be too stringy. And I was like, no, I know my body. I'm going to look great. And now I'm learning that he was
It's important to listen to your trainer, that's for sure. And
Yeah, but you know, we just met, so it was like kind of like I don't, you know, it's hard to trust someone to know you better than you know yourself. Right when you meet them, you know, what I mean. So
you've already made every amateur mistake. They're all out of the way now. Now you're ready to do some damage. Being that you're only 21 years old, but we know you've been training a long time. Is it intimidating to go up against some of the guys that have name guys that you probably have been reading about in magazines, looking at on the websites and kind of looking up to? Is there an intimidation factor there, or do you just block it out?
No, there's not really I don't really look much on the websites and stuff. I just focus kind of on myself. You know how I've always been. I don't really get intimidated and stuff because, like I've always said, you can only be your best. You know what I mean?
Right, but I'm talking about, like, you know, when you were first coming up, I'm sure you would look at the website and say, oh, I want to look like that guy. Now you can be competing against some of these guys that you kind of admired, you know?
Oh, yeah, like the pros and stuff like that?
Yeah, I
still admire them a lot, and I'm still very inspired by them, you know, and want to be like them, but I want to be my own person, and I'm kind of, it's a little intimidating, being that it's like, wow, these guys used to be who I want to look like, and now you're getting close to where you might be competing with them in the next couple of years, you know?
Yeah. Now, you had a motorcycle accident, what was it, a year and a half ago?
Yep. It was actually about, I'd say about a year and 2 months ago.
Yeah. Explain to us what happened, because a lot of people heard about it. Some people don't know about it, but it was pretty severe.
Yeah, it was very severe, man. I was cruising along at about 100 miles an hour on my way to work. I don't know if you want to call that cruising, but on a street bike, Yamaha R1, that is cruising speeds, basically. Sure. I was rushing to work. I had left early that morning, and I was actually a little bit late for work, so I was trying to get to work, and it was about 5 o'clock, and 5 o'clock in the morning, and traffic was pretty heavy, and I was freeway splitting traffic about 100, and they were going only about 50, and this car changed lanes right in front of me, and I smacked into the back of the car, and went over the handlebars, and flew down the freeway, and luckily I didn't get hit by anybody, and I came out with a torn shoulder and a broken thumb, but man, I really should have been dead at that speed.
What were you wearing in terms of body clothing?
That's the funny thing, man. It was so crazy because I always never wear the right clothing, and I always wear shorts and a t-shirt whenever I'm cruising on my street bike. But that morning, my dad had told me before I left that he said, "Hey, make sure you wear a lot of clothes." He said, "If you ain't sweating when you leave the house, you're going to be freezing on the way to work," because it wasn't winter time, but it was real cold in the mornings. And so I bundled up. I put on my leather jacket. I had a street bike jacket, and I put my work jeans on. And then I put sweatpants over my work jeans. I was hot when I left, and then so luckily, just all that padding that I had on
protected,
saved me.
Wow, what isn't it crazy when things like that happen? That do you when you're flying through the air off the bike? You know, it happened so fast, I'm sure, but probably something was going through your head. What were you thinking at that moment?
I was thinking the first thought that came to my head was I was thinking, I'm going to get hit by a car. It's weird that you think that, but that's what was going through my head. I was waiting, as I was going through the air and hitting the ground and bouncing, I was thinking, ow. I remember this day, every time I would hit smack the ground, I would yell, ow. I would yell, ow, but I was thinking in my head, like, it's going to hurt really bad when this car runs me over. I was just waiting for a car to just crunch me, you know what I mean?
Was it just luck, or was there a lot of traffic going on there?
Yeah, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, so here, that's what time most people are getting up for work, you know, 6 or 7, they're going to work about 6 or 7, so they're commuting to work about 5 o'clock, and I normally get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work, but I was late that morning, I had overslept, and so I was okay, I got to be at work at 7, and I'm 2 hours away from where I am, and so I was just flying.
You live 2 hours away from where you work?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a dedicated guy.
Yeah, every day. I got to get up at 3 o'clock. I just, actually, this Friday was my last work day. And then I'm taking tomorrow off and Tuesday, and then I'm flying out Tuesday night.
Well, you're dedicated. Now, tell everyone what you do for a living again, because they don't remember, probably.
I was started off as a welder, and now I'm doing, I got promoted, and I'm doing inspecting right now, which is really nice because it works cool with my bodybuilding. It's not as much labor work, but it's just a lot of mental work, and it's basically I inspect. We're building a hospital in Oakland, California, and I inspect all the pipe work and the ceiling and all that, all the welds, everything, the supports, and how it's installed, and we hydro-test to make sure there's no leaks. I do all that stuff.
So you must have a lot of experience if you're an inspector. I would assume you have to know what you're doing to be an inspector.
Yeah, I do have a lot of experience because I've been around it all my life. My grandpa was a welder. My dad was a welder. My brother, my uncle. So it runs in the family. I've been around it all my life, and I've learned a lot from them over the years. So
I know a couple people that I'd like to weld a metal helmet on their head, if you can maybe facilitate that one of these days. a permanent one, like the man in the iron mask type of thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But
what?
That would be cool, though, wouldn't it? I was thinking about Steve Blackman putting a metal helmet over his head and welding it on there.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Let's talk about... So you go 2 hours to work. Now, does your work change all the time? Is it always the same place you got to go to, pretty much?
Well, I mean, for the last 2 years I've been working here. When the job's done, I'll move, but it's always in the Bay Area. So it's always around an hour and a half to 2 hours away.
So why don't you move closer to where your jobs are?
Well, because I grew up here in Modesto, and all my friends and family and everyone lived here in Modesto. So I'm thinking, like, I was actually thinking about it when I moved down to my parents' house, like, on my apartment. I was thinking, why don't I on the weekends and stuff, I like to be able to see them. I'm really close to my family and stuff, so I like to be able to see them and spend time with them and my friends and stuff. And I don't want to drive 2 hours down on the weekends and see them, and when that's my rest time, you know, and then have to stay the night here.
Yeah, but you're only going to have to drive once. This way you're driving every freaking day to work 5 days a week.
That's true. It's true.
He's got a great physique. No one said he has that much common sense, though, right? I said, we all said you had a good physique, but no one said you had a lot of common sense. That's the 21. That's the 21. See, at 21, you don't mind doing that kind of driving. When you get to like 31, you'll be like, fuck this, man.
Oh, that's how my dad is, man. Like, he commutes to work too, and when I used to commute with him all the time, man, he would just rant and rave all the way home, and I'm like, why are you complaining? You can't do nothing about it. And he it would just get him so angry, you know?
Because he was doing it probably for 25 years. That's why he was complaining.
Yeah, he's been doing it since he was 18 years old, and he's 49 now. Yeah. So, you know, about 21 years. So. Yeah.
I don't see you doing this very much longer, because your bodybuilding career is blossoming at this point. You'll be getting up on stage at the USA Championships as the youngest competitor up on stage, I believe. Now, when you saw Aaron Clark win that the light heavyweight class there, or excuse me, the heavyweight class at the USA Championships, that had to be pretty inspiring to you. He's only 23.
Yeah. That was what was really cool. He had won the team nationals, or he didn't win the team nationals, actually.
No, he didn't.
Because he said, I was like, talking to him about that before he won the USA's. He was telling me his tan got messed up or something like that. And stuff just went bad for him. But at the team nationals. But yeah, being only 23 and winning the USA's, that's very inspiring. You know what I mean? That's really impressive, because not many people do that. Most of the guys that went in the USA's are 25, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're looking to beat that record, I'm sure. Hopefully by 2 years.
I'm thinking I can definitely do it by the time I'm 23. If you know what I mean. If I don't do it next year, depending on how I place at this North Americans, right. if I do really well, or if I don't do so well, then if I don't do so well, I'm going to take 2 years off, get as much mass as I can, and come in as a super around 260 in 2 years. you know, and probably definitely win my pro card. And then, but if I do really well at the North Americans, then I might take just a year off and go and do like junior nationals, mm-hmm. just to get my name, you know, get it going.
Sure.
And win the junior nationals and then do a USA's or something like that, and hopefully win my pro card then. Yeah, but I hope to win it by the time I'm 23 at least.
That would be I think you got to do it before that. That's my personal opinion, but I don't want to jinx you. You know, with all the teen guys coming up nowadays, I mean, your year, when you did the teen nationals, that was probably the first year that the competition really got stiff again. Like, it had been down for a while. 2010 yeah. was a phenomenal year between you and Nick and the other guy that, who won the lightweight class, or the middleweight class, I think, who challenged. You know, and then I didn't think it was going to happen again. And then this year, I'm sure you saw yeah. the results. The teen nationals was amazing. Another Cody Montgomery won the overall, beating Dominic Cardone in a very close battle. What was your take on that? What did you think of these guys?
You know, I like Dom. I don't know Cody personally. I know Dom personally. And Dominic, he's a good guy. He's a good kid and stuff. But and he had a lot more mass than Cody did at the Team Nationals. But, you know, in all truth, I was looking at Cody's pictures, and that kid was phenomenal. I've never seen a teen that shredded. He was more shredded than I was at the Team Nationals. And his glutes, everything was just dialed in. So I think he deserved it. You know, I think he did. What do you think?
I thought Cody was amazing. I thought his conditioning was great. I liked Dominic Cardone because I think he's a little, I liked his size. I thought he had the same level of conditioning and size. Yeah.
He's a lot bigger. Yeah, exactly. He's a lot bigger. So, yeah, you know, it just depends on, you know, the thing is that if they're looking for more conditioning than Cody had it, or if they're looking for more size, then Dominic definitely had it. You know, I guess it's just what they're looking for at that show.
It's a testament to how good these are. I mean, the fact that Cody Montgomery was only 17 years old, and technically he could probably win the Teen Nationals two more years, which I don't think anyone's ever repeated as Teen National champion. I mean, it's almost unfathomable when you think about the level of development he has at that age.
Yeah, and I mean, they could have, if you know, in all fairness, they could have gave it to Dom because he's 19 and he can't do it again, you know?
Sure.
And then Cody can always come back and he's got two more years, you know, but I mean, whatever.
You know how that feels, though. You technically, a lot of people thought you should have won, including me, should have won that Teen Nationals in 2010, and it was a tough decision. You lost. You sucked it up. You kept dieting. You did the North American Teen Championships they had that year, and you won that overall. Got a little redemption for yourself, but it hurts, right? I mean, it's you only get one shot at it, really, you know.
And that's what hurt the most about it. It was like my dream since I was 13 years old. I was training, and that was my goal, was like to win the Team Nationals one time and then go for my pro card after that, you know, and that was just my goal, was Team Nationals, and I did it when I was 19, and that was my last chance, you know what I mean? And like you said, I felt that I definitely deserved to win it. But it is what it is. You move on, you learn, and it makes you stronger as a person.
Like I said, Dominic Cardone, Jay Cutler never won the overall. He only won the heavyweight class as well. So you guys are in good company in that respect. Talk to me a little bit about where you see yourself in 5 years, because I like to ask this question to guys that are young, because most guys that are young aren't focused. They don't have, you know, vision as to where they want to be. I know you have like a game plan in your head. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, you know, I don't like to sound cocky, and everyone is going to say I probably sound cocky because of this, but I hope to be in 5 years standing on the Olympia stage. I hope. Competing on the Olympia stage. Not Mr. Olympia, you know, but competing, at least qualifying to be in the Mr. Olympia competition. That's what I'm hoping.
I think that's a very reasonable goal. Very reasonable.
I mean, I figure if you can win your pro card within 2 years, then you got 3 years to compete to qualify for Olympia, and as you know, if I win my pro card, it's not going to be like I'm going to be some small guy. I'm going to be a super heavyweight, probably big, 260 or something. So I mean, that's not far from being Olympia size. So within 3 years, I should be able to do that after the pro card, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, you're still young, and you know, I always feel guys in bodybuilding usually hit their peak around 24, 25, 26, and you haven't even got there yet. So God knows what you'll look like at that age. How big do you want to get? What do you see yourself wanting to, like, weighing on stage ultimately in contest shape? What do you think you can hold?
I think without my stomach getting too big and looking to ruining the physique, I think my frame will let me get is probably 270 on stage.
That's 275,
somewhere around there.
That's pretty big. Yeah. That's probably that's be huge. One of the biggest guys in that one.
I don't know. I might be thinking wrong. You never know what you're going to look like when you get that big and you're holding that much muscle. I don't want to look stupid. You know what I mean?
All right, let's fantasize for a minute. You're a student of the sport, right? You know all the athletes in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your top six guys that will be, you don't have to put them in order, top six guys at the Olympia 5 years from now.
Top six guys at the Olympia from 5 years from now.
In 5 years, who's going to be up here?
Kai Green.
He's still being, you think he'll still be around, okay.
I think he'll still be around, definitely. I think Phil East, will still be around.
Absolutely.
He's so young, and he's got so much potential, and I think he's going to be Mr. Olympia for a long time, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, so that's Kai and Phil. I think definitely Evan Sindapani. I think Steve Kuklo.
Okay.
Steve Kuklo. I think, I don't think Dennis Wolf will be in it. He's too old.
What about Sean Roden? You think he'll be around?
Huh?
You think Sean Roden will be around?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, definitely.
What about Cody Lewis? Will he be in that top six? 5 years?
Yes. No, I don't know about that top six. I think I'll be there, but I don't know about top six.
All right, I'll give you an easy one. This may be harder, actually. 10 years from now, obviously, we don't know who's going to come around. 10 years from now, given the people in the industry now, who will be in the Mr. Olympia top six?
I will.
Okay, good. That's it. I was waiting for you to say. So 10 years, you're going to be in the top six. Okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely be within the 10 years. I might be within 5 years. You never know. But I don't want to sound cocky. You know what I mean? I don't want to sound. A couple of people are going to be like, "Come on, dude." Because and I got a lot of respect to these guys that are in the Olympia. It's like they have been through so much to get to where they are, and for me to sit here and be like, "In 5 years, I'm going to be in the top five, Mr. Olympia." You know, it's like, "Come on, dude." That's kind of almost to just be able to act like it's just that easy to do it. You know, because it's not that easy.
Of course. I know. I'm breaking balls a little bit. All right, I know you have people you want to thank. Throw the thank yous out there to your sponsors and stuff like that.
I want to thank Species Nutrition. I want to thank Lana's Egg Whites and Iron Militia, and I'd like to thank my trainer Steve DeLuca.
Okay, well that's.
I'd like to thank True Iron because they're my posing trunk sponsorship. They give me a free posing trunk and everything like that, and their stuff is their posing trunk. They actually just sponsored me, and I got some of their trunks, and they look great. They cut great on the glutes, and they're real comfortable, so I'm real happy with them.
21 years old. You got a lot of contracts. Congratulations, Cody, on all your successes, and we will see you on stage on Saturday morning at the IFBB North American Championships. Will he come out with a pro card? We will find out. Cody, thanks for calling in.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Dave.
That was Cody Lewis, who will be getting up on stage at the North American Championships this coming week in the super heavyweight class, 15 pounds heavier than he was at the USA. Cody's got a bright future at only 21 years of age, and he'll be wearing his Species shirts and repping the whole RX Muscle community. Good luck to him. This coming weekend, I will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the North American Championships from Thursday to Sunday. Stay tuned for all the latest up-to-the-minute updates and live play-by-play only on rxmuscle.com. The following week, I will be in Finland at the Nordic Pro. Aaron Chewbacca-Singerman, Chris Aceta will be down at Sarasota. So we got a lot coming up this past week. And by the way, we covered 8 shows. I didn't go anywhere, but we covered 8 shows all over the country. And you can check out all the shows. They'll be going up this week as the week progresses with some of them having contest interviews with them. But we will have all the photos only on gallery.rxmuscle.com. For now, though, we are out of time. I'd like to thank Cody Lewis for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of rxmuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo only on Heavy Muscle Radio.